Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio show. We got Barbie on the line. Barbie.
Hi, hey, this is Barbie. First time, long time. I just wanted to see I think the Eagles have a real chance this year, and very, very excited about our prospects. Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
Perfect.
Okay, bye. I'll take my question off the air.
All right, and next caller. Oh, wait, we got another Barbie.
Hello, it's Barbie. Calling from across the pond. It's Barbie from...
Oh, hey, this is the other Barbie. I cut in on that other Barbie's line real quick. Hey, I was going to say, look, because I'm from... Philly doesn't mean I don't respect other football teams. You know, us ladies got to support each other, men, all that stuff. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that real quick. So,
I want to say I don't know what the Eagles are.
Oh, thank you, Barbies. Yeah, that's great. I think we got to... maybe we should have practiced this beforehand. Maybe I should have told you guys I was going to do that. But listen, I don't even know what this is. This is a live radio show, but... listen,
that was perfect.
Excellent.
No notes, no edits.
Well, speaking of Barbies, though, because that's all the show is about. All day, all the time, Barbie, Barbie, Barbie. Man, it just replayed in her head.
Look at Liz.
Hello. What happened?
I liked it because you were kind of the Mrs. Doubtfire of Barbies, which was a Barbie
it was
for everybody.
The perfect... across the pond accent.
Hello. I was very confused.
I thought it was a Muppet. It was a little bit of like the Swedish Chef with a Barbie with maybe like a Wisconsin mother.
It had like
together.
A Swedish it, or like a Russian accent, but like
that's what I practiced before we started this.
I was feeling it in my soul.
It's perfect.
Thank you.
It's really good.
Thank you.
But yeah, you know, speaking of, there are so many types of Barbies, and that's what's wonderful about Barbie Land. Barbie World? Barbie Land. Ken World. What are the two?
One's East Coast, one's West Coast. I can never keep them straight,
Steven.
Wow. This is the problem with Barbie World Land. Much like Disney.
That's true.
Doesn't make sense to me.
I'm having
Barbie
a problem
East,
with
Barbie
it.
West. Let's just call it how we see it.
That's right.
Well, on this flat earth of ours, we gotta make a stand.
In Barbie Land. That's where I'm.
We got to make a stand in Barbie Land. That's and that's why I, Brent Hibbert, a man, am running for president of Barbie Land. You know, I need your votes.
I think you got the wrong message.
I'm immediately calling President Chief Wilson with her Eagle squad. She knows all about Eagles. She can come in and take over from this.
The Eagles are going to
defeat. Answer this.
Hey, Steven, this is Barbie again. I just wanted to say a shout out to Liz for also knowing what an Eagle is. Go Eagles. Looking forward to a wonderful showing this year.
Oh,
God bless the United States. God bless America. Barbie out.
Wow. Thank you again for calling in, Barbie. And that there's like an Eagles, there's a Philadelphia Eagles Barbie, there's a Chief Barbie apparently, and there are lots of different types of Barbies.
Yeah.
And
really,
I'm curious of your there's one in front of it. She's Chief Barbie, but I'm curious of your Barbies growing up. If you had favorites, or if Brett and I did, or other toys, any other kind of dolls in the doll realm. So does anybody remember growing up with a special Barbie? Amanda?
Steven, you had a special Barbie, didn't you?
Well, I have one in mind that I chose to talk about. Should I start us off? Because I will.
I have three.
Well, so. I'm going to start us off. No, you have three? Can you do one at a time?
What if somebody takes them?
Oh, wow. This wasn't a competition.
Okay.
But you can do all three if you like.
I'll do one at a time.
Go for it. Whatever you like.
Okay.
Anytime.
Well, first one is Baywatch Barbie.
Wow.
Yes!
You didn't know that existed.
Because there's nothing better than a crossover of the best TV show.
Does she have a dolphin?
With the best doll. She sure does.
Wow.
She also has like a hat.
Uh-huh. Oh, she got like a visor.
She's got one of those rescue things that they run into the ocean with.
Yeah, like the red ones.
Mm, she's got a whistle.
That's really cool.
She's got...
I don't know why you keep showing that to the microphone.
Oh.
Amanda, did
did you have the Baywatch Barbie? Because sure I did too.
What?
Yeah.
Look at that. Too. You guys could have saved the oceans together.
I didn't have that.
We were saving That's the oceans. Sad. I didn't have a dolphin, I didn't even know that though, existed. But I remember the little floaty thing. I had that.
The next cool. one is like, I think that we all, mm-hmm. as kids growing up, women wanted to be marine biologists at some point. So I also had sure. uh-huh. ocean friends Barbie with the whale.
Come closer. Yeah.
I don't know how to make it.
It came with an entire whale?
Did it come with an orca?
Oh, it's like a...
Baby Kiko, the whale.
Wow. Oh, so you have like a whole ocean God. Friends and Barbies? Mm-hmm.
She's in a scuba suit. She's got tanks I like it's like, and fins.
It's like black and pink, yeah, she the does. Suit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I think for some reason she has a fanny pack.
Yeah, you need that in the ocean.
Yeah.
For all your tools mm-hmm. and knives and stuff.
Yeah, you got. Where are you going to keep your chapstick?
Yeah. Duh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brent's been diving many times.
And mm-hmm. then...
Got to keep those lips wet.
The last one. Hot skating Barbie.
Wow. Oh.
Hot skating Barbie, which I think was a version of what they did in the movie. But like this one.
To show us that.
This is sort of like mine. I'm not sure if this is the right one, but Barbie Rollerblade.
Yeah,
was the one that I liked growing up. My sister had that, and it had like basically like cigarettes. Not cigarette. It has like a lighter what? Thing in this.
What? That yeah, was mine too.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
it's the best.
It's the only one that
like
I can think of.
On the yeah. ground.
Yeah, oh, caused many a house yeah. fire. Yeah. It's really good. They stopped selling it relatively quickly.
That's awesome.
It's like if you got a copy of The Little Mermaid with the dick on it, you know, it's like you were like yeah. you're a cool kid yes. if you got the Barbie that can light fires, you know?
Yeah.
Beavis's favorite Barbie right there.
That's right. If he could choose.
Are you going to do it?
Hey, Beavis. Did I do it? Did I do a Beavis and Butthead? Was that it?
That was not
I
it.
Like that you, Amanda, so that was the same one, the one that lights fires?
Mm-hmm.
And you had two ocean ones, yeah. so that's good. Like, those will help cancel each other out,
yeah.
which is nice in the event of a
That's true,
a
yeah.
I can just mm-hmm. grab my fanny pack and squeeze that's it out.
Right, because it's full of ocean water.
Yeah. Put the fire out.
Yeah. Like Kiko the whale squirt a little water on it.
Yeah.
Whales are nice like that.
Mm-hmm.
What about you guys? What do you remember growing up with?
Allison, you've got one pulled up right here.
I do. So I had totally hair Barbie, and she was
in the one with like super long
the
hair.
Movie.
Yeah.
Oh, the
super long
hair
and yeah. like super colorful, fun dress. Mm-hmm. I love the dress. I still love the dress. I want that dress today. And my other one was literally going to be Baywatch Barbie. I loved her. I don't know why. That doesn't make sense.
I know.
Like, why did little Allison?
Did you like
Baywatch?
Barbie?
I don't know.
Growing up,
I did not. No, but it was probably that whole ocean connection because I too wanted to be a marine biologist when I was a little girl. Swim with the dolphins
was never on my list of things that I wanted.
That
to be.
Is shocking. What did you want to be when you were a little girl?
The president.
I thought you were going to say like blood splatter expert.
No, that's terrifying. No, the president.
Was there a president Barbie?
I don't remember. I don't have any idea.
I don't
idea.
Think so. No, we didn't believe in that yet.
That's true, yeah.
They're like, you can have some drinks, but don't myth. Take them too far.
Yeah.
Don't go too far. Yeah.
There has to have been, like, since, like, Someone by now, there has to have been a President Barbie, right?
Probably.
Surely.
I mean,
I know there's, like, one in the movie, but...
Right.
Yeah,
but outside of that, I mean, I honestly kind of think it is one of the, it's like, well, women can do a lot of things, but they can't do that. So,
yeah,
but around obviously. The world,
that's
they can.
Too far fetched.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe you know, around the world, there are female presidents. You'd think that that would be allowed in Barbie Land, you know?
Sure, absolutely.
And Allison, you're not wearing the Barbie dress that you wanted so badly, but you are wearing a rad Barbie shirt right now.
Yes. Sadly, no dress, but I have an awesome Barbie car, and she's got her friend in the car with her.
Is this feminine fierce?
Feminine fierce, motherfucker.
Is she a little girly lesbian?
Maybe she is. Listen, there are undertones that we didn't pick up on when we were young.
That's right.
As in many things yes, that we indeed. Were just discussing.
Well, growing up, I had Barbies around. My sister had Barbies. I liked playing with them and Kens and stuff. We would usually like trade off. I would have my G.I. Joes as well because I was super into that. And I would play Barbies with her, whatever that meant that day. Like, you know, that she had like a little house or whatever. So it was like playing house or doing whatever. And then I'd be like, okay, is it my turn now? And then I'd bring like a truck and I'd like run everybody over. And we'd do that for 15 minutes. And then we would trade off. It was actually like a pretty good thing, I think. We both helped each other out. You know, we were bored. We were like the younger kids in the family. And
you know, this really helps me understand you on a deeper level.
Thank
and
you.
It also completely tracks with your entire personality.
My brother used to steal my Barbies. And he and the neighborhood kid would like blowtorch them.
Oh,
and like
nice.
Shave their was heads it David? And stuff. It was David.
Was it David?
Yeah. David.
Oh my God, David. This David guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was a menace. Stories. He was a menace to our child.
This is the second time I've heard about this guy.
This is the kid that, and the bee, the bumblebee?
Yeah, shook the bumblebee up.
Terrible.
Easter egg.
And he let it go at you?
Yeah.
I like it's an Easter memory. It's like,
where is David now?
Hell.
He's in prison.
Prison? Is he really?
No, I don't think so.
As far as I know, he's in the military.
Oh, that's good.
So pretty much the same, you know.
Yeah,
right.
He needed that structure. It's fine.
Yeah. Sometimes it helps people. Sometimes it also accentuates the bumblebee, the shaken up bumblebees kind of characteristic.
Just on a larger and more dangerous level.
What about you, Brent? Any dolls that you played with growing up?
Well, you know, I love my Turk figures. Those are a big hit. I had a couple of stepsisters I grew up with, and they had Barbies. And I kept trying to convince them to have their Barbies marry the turtles. And they didn't really go for it. But not because they were like...
interspecies.
Not because they were mutated reptiles, but because they were just like too short. And I'm like, wow.
Wow.
Ladies.
Poor short kings.
Thank you. Short kings
need love too.
Exactly.
That's true.
You know? I had to like get a booster seat to come to this record today. It's like, I'm not happy that it has like the food tray in front of me, but I do like Cheerios, so I appreciate that. I'm just going to pick at these for a while.
Just don't be loud on the podcast. You know your own rules.
Oh, no. I would never. We'll leave that to your wife, Amanda. She'll make plenty of noise. What are you eating today, Amanda? What can we expect? What can the listeners expect to hear today?
Well, I have no snacks currently, but we're at the very beginning. So
we'll see how long this goes.
If you see me wander off screen, it's probably not good.
Okay. All right.
The sad part about that too is that I allowed her to wear her earbuds instead of wired headphones, so she can literally just wander off at any moment, and I can barely stop her. So
yeah, I don't have a leash today.
Wow!
So.
Holy shit!
Well, holy not right shit. Now.
I don't know if that's I don't know if that's hot or if that's just really bad patriarchy bullshit. God damn it, Steven, you know better.
Listen, if it's role play, it can be fun either way.
Okay, as long as there's consent.
I'm not saying that I have the leash.
Yeah.
Oh.
That I wear the leash.
Oh.
Anyway, we have to go. Well, besides your turtles or the other Barbies we mentioned, a little bit of G.I. Joe's for me. Any other like dolls? Like Ninja Turtles, I had those as well growing up. Played with those a lot, but I don't remember.
Steven, do you remember the turtles having squishy heads? You remember that back in the day?
No.
What? You don't remember that? Oh, my God. I used to, like, smash in Raphael's face all the time. I'm like, you little bitch. I just, like, smash his head in.
They had, like, the normal plastic shell
bodies. But actually, you know what? Now it's come back to haunt me because nature smashed my head in.
Wow.
But 2 summers ago. So now it's all coming into crisp focus for me.
On accident, did you happen to have made that Ninja Turtle into like a voodoo doll of yourself? And so you did it to yourself and then years later it happened?
Yeah. I mean, it's like how most artists will like draw pictures of themselves, like self-portraits or just kind of like sketch a person's face. And you can see a lot of connections between their own appearance and what they've drawn. I would always draw my face on my action figures. And I think maybe that's... Yes, I think that's the connective tissue.
That's how you made your own personal voodoo dolls. Mm-hmm. That's creepy.
Yeah.
So do you have a lot of them?
What's a lot? You know, is 712 a lot? I don't think so.
You need to put them all
that's
in a box.
That's not even quadruple digits.
And quit squishing their faces in and wrap them in bubble wrap.
Well, I'll take it under advisement, but outlook not good.
I just imagine you pasting your face on these dolls and then like looking around and just... furiously rubbing their crotches. You're like, come on.
Steven, I shouldn't have told you off air that that's what I do, but that's what I understand. That's how I assume that's what masturbating is.
But given what we know that you hit its head, you smashed its head, and it took like, what, like 25 years for you to fall? You know that there's a long time between that voodoo doll trickery. So like one day you're just going to be walking to work and you're just going to be like, whoa!
Yeah.
Pants off your body.
Pants will explode.
He's like, finally!
Yeah. Yeah. Be great.
Okay.
Be great. Hey,
well,
Liz, you said that you wanted to run for president. Do you think this is good material to have floating out there for your presidential run?
Well, I gave up on that.
No.
There's still time.
There's still time. And you can pick up whatever the wreckage is in a few years after we're done with whatever's happening.
Well, I know.
You can be like, I hate those people now, and I've never spoken to them again.
Look,
so embarrassing.
I saw a video today of Marjorie.
They're not on my campaign team or anything.
Yeah. Of Marjorie Taylor Greene when she auditioned for American Idol.
No.
No
the
fucking
original
way.
Season.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
The original season?
The original season. Holy she was,
shit.
Like, really bad.
I got to look that
one
up.
Of the people that, you know, in the auditions, they were like, no, you can't, you're not going to, whatever. And she goes out the door and she's like, well, I don't know if I made it or not. They didn't say welcome to Hollywood.
Wow.
And the two That's hosts amazing. Were like, yeah, then that means you didn't make it. And, and she goes, hold on. And then walks back in.
Oh. The audacity.
Oh, my God.
To Paula Abdul and Randy Johnson?
Jackson.
I don't remember who it was. Jackson. And Simon. Mm. And they're like...
And Theodore.
Yeah, it was appalling behavior, which is not a surprise.
That's but wild.
I know. We got to find it. I got to find it.
That's pretty fantastic.
Do, please.
I know. So, I mean, you know, she made it.
Yeah, so it can happen. Yeah, I mean...
Things are looking up for me.
Actively,
I do have...
She actively says the most batshit crazy things in Congress. So,
right.
Yeah.
You know.
If
yeah.
She can make it,
I don't think this
it.
Is going to like ruin any chances.
Well, give us time.
Know. We should try. Yeah. Let us try harder. Yeah.
We have episode 350 coming up. We'll do our best to do some damage.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
To practice your damage control skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is just getting you ready.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
Help us help
Great.
You
yeah.
recover.
I think
I definitely I didn't want to start with a clean slate anyway, so it's perfect.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah, it's great.
Good. Oh, man. Elect Liz Wilson, dirty slate. I like it.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's perfect.
Fuck. Yeah.
I would vote dirty for that person. Slate. I would vote for that person. That's pretty good. Well, I think with this, we should just get into it. So we're doing it. I'm Steven.
I'm Brent.
And let's go around, starting with you, Liz.
Oh, I'm Liz.
I'm Allison.
I'm Amanda.
Oh, wow. Look at those pros. Welcome back, ladies. The Stuff Talkers are here for the Barbie episode. So excited. We've been talking about this for a long time off air and our little text group trying to get this together. And I'm so glad we finally did. At this point, Amanda and I we went to theaters to see Barbie the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we watched it once at home and then we watched it again last night. And so I'm really excited to talk about that. We've seen it three times now. And yeah, you guys recently went to the theater all together, right? In preparation for this episode?
We had a Barbie party. It was such a good time.
Ooh.
Yeah, Barbie Day. It was great.
It was like us and four other people in that theater.
Was it really?
It was sad, but also very fun.
I really didn't know if it would be... It was like a re-release, or was it just because of the Oscars and stuff, or just in general?
Yeah, they did a couple of replays of the Oscar movies.
I would have thought
I did
more
not
people
know
would go.
Why that was... The case. All right. Yeah. I just thought it was still in the theater. I have no idea what's happening.
You're like, wow, this run is really long.
I'm like, yeah, this makes sense.
It's a big hit. You know, it makes sense. Yeah. That doesn't really happen anymore because this one actually did have legs and it was the, you know, like they had Barbenheimer and all that stuff, the joke of the summer last summer when this came out. But it's a juggernaut hit. So we're excited to talk about it and the history of us with Barbies and stuff. We already talked about growing up with those dolls and stuff, but I think we'll have a lot to discuss, the five of us, for this amazing Barbie episode. So are we just going to get straight into the movie?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Great.
Said with a lot of force from you guys. I'll take it. Steven, we'll get into it.
You're going to have to take the wheel on this one, buddy. This one's going to be pure chaos otherwise.
That's a good point, man. Well, I'm going to go ahead and start off, as we usually do, with kind of talking about the cast and crew of this movie. So that kind of gave us a baseline. And then we'll talk about, like I said, the history of Barbie, our histories with the doll, the franchise, the movie, and all that stuff. So this was written by Greta Gerwig and her partner, Noah Baumbach, and directed by Greta Gerwig. Have you guys ever seen – she's done a bunch of other stuff recently. I'll list them a few off, I guess, before I ask you if you've seen them. But this was a cool movie for her. She kind of started like with like indie movies and stuff, and then – I think this was such a great choice for her to do it, and I think it worked out so well. But she had things that won't show me right now. Okay, she had directed a version of Little Women in 2019. Amanda and I still haven't seen that, but I know she would be a big fan of that. Have you guys seen the Little Women she directed?
Yes.
Is that the one with the
I think that Maya Rudolph? Not Maya Rudolph. Maya.
It's got a bunch of good
Scott
people in it.
Florence Pugh.
Yeah. Emma Watson, yeah. Saoirse Ronan, Laura Dern, Tim Chamblam. What do you call him?
Steven.
Yeah.
It's Timmy Tim.
Ooh, I'm so sorry.
With confidence. With confidence.
Steven, it's...
I am dying to know what it is now.
I will never know. This the other day. No, damn it. It's Timmy Cham Cham.
It's Timmy Cham Cham. Timothée Chalamet. Timmy Cham Chams.
Timmy Cham Cham.
Yeah, that version of Little Women I haven't seen yet, but I mean, everybody involved, and then Greta Gerwig, it sounds great. She did Lady Bird in 2017. Amanda and I weren't huge fans of that one. That one had like a lot of buzz. It was more indie, but partly it seems like people that had various relationships with their moms
were not traumatized enough
basically
to be like, oh, I get it.
That one is an intriguing one. I know a lot of people like it, but it just didn't really hit for me. But and then she's also an actress. She's been in a bunch of stuff, and she's just pretty rad, and I think this was a great choice for her. Noah Baumbach, her writing partner and real life partner as well, they both write really interesting movies and stuff. I've been trying to get into more of his stuff recently, but this is an interesting choice for him as well. Obviously this is based on the Barbie character from Mattel. Is starring
obviously
the book.
Yeah, it's based off the book.
Wow. Okay, I didn't want to get into this at first because people just know about the doll, but as Allison just pointed out, this is actually based on an old 1934 book.
Yeah, the original Barbie.
What?
It's a German book called Barbie.
And no,
Barbie. Right?
Barbie?
Barbie. No, it's Barbie? No, you know, you're not hearing Barbie. It. It's Barbie.
Oh, okay. Right. Barbie.
There you go. You got it.
Yeah.
Anyway, obviously starring Margot Robbie, Ryan Gosling, America Ferrera, Kate McKinnon, Michael Cera, Ariana Greenblatt. So many people. Issa Rae, Rhea Perlman, Helen Mirren, Will Ferrell, Hari Neff, Emma Mackey, tons and tons of people. Chiyoti Gawa, who's the new Doctor Who. Really like that he was involved in this.
Also in Sex Education, is the star of that show.
So good.
I just saw that trailer today. Mm-hmm. I was blown away. I love him so much. I think he's going to make a fabulous Doctor. I'm super excited about
it. I have never watched a Doctor Who before. And
I was thinking about that.
I love
him. It might be a good way to start.
I wondered if this might be my intro finally, because we love Sex Education and him in it. Mm-hmm. And he's just one of the most amazing like young actors. So him and Emma Mackey. And then I can't remember the other guy's name. There's three people from that show that are in this movie. The guy that's like at Mattel who discovers, like the younger guy who discovers and brings it to Will Ferrell. And then Emma Mackey is like Margot Robbie's like doppelganger. That's why they invited her to this.
Yep.
And it's really cool to see them together too. But so tons of people involved. Let's talk about it. So let's do like people's like histories with Barbie. We talked about a little bit with the dolls and stuff, but I know for myself, it was really just like my sister really liked it. I remember Barbie just being around all the time, and growing up, like going into this movie, you know, it's like you have a certain idea. I think kind of, excuse me, like the little girl, the daughter of the America Ferrera in this movie, her view of like Barbie, that whenever Margot Robbie first shows up in the cafeteria and she's like, "You're what's wrong with the patriarchy and capitalism and all this stuff." It's like, that's kind of over time what I kind of got from Barbie. It seemed like this unrealistic ideal, this body shape that doesn't like literally cannot even exist because it will just top over and stuff. And, so many like things that seemingly were wrong about it. I loved this movie personally. I think a lot of people did, because it challenges our viewpoint of that. And it's like, no, Barbie can be anything. And that was such an interesting thing. But growing up, you know, just around wasn't my you know, biggest thing, obviously. Yeah, I'm curious, like, Amanda, I know you were a big Barbie girl growing up.
Yeah, and I thought one of the things that I thought about last night when we were watching it in the very, like, beginning intro shows sort of Barbie throughout the ages, and it shows, like, you can be anything. You can be a vet. You can be a doctor. You can be all of these things. And I said, huh, it's so interesting because growing up, it wasn't like I thought of Barbie as this, like, really empowering, like, independent, like, doesn't need a man kind of woman. Maybe so much because Barbie and Ken were such a pairing. And Steven made a good point and said that it was because, like, we grew up with Barbie just existing. It wasn't like we grew up where it was just baby dolls and things like that. And then Barbie was introduced. So maybe earlier generations saw more of the, like, empowerment side of it. But I think by the time it got to us, it was just sort of like a stereotypical, like, pretty young, like, thin woman who, yes, she was all those things, but she did it in really cute outfits and she had the perfect accessories. And, you know, I don't know that I, like, internalized it as a kid as one of the reasons why I thought I could do or be what I wanted, you know, in life. I saw that more from, like, my mom. I saw her, like, go back to school and become a teacher.
Your mom's a Barbie.
My mom is the best version of Barbie.
The freaking coolest Barbie.
Yeah.
I still look up to her.
I know. And I love that you can use that as, like, a compliment now. Like, I genuinely like calling all of you Barbie in the texts and, like, in the beginning of the show or whatever. We joke about that. It's like, oh, you're a Barbie. You're a Barbie. I'm a Barbie too.
But I don't know that, like, at least 90s little girls were, like, feeling that as they were playing with Barbies.
No, for sure. I really agree with you. I think, especially quickly after being a kid, like a little kid and playing with them, I felt like it was, you know, an unrealistic standard and unrealistic expectations and something that fed into, like, all of our social programming for what looks normal and what we're supposed to do and be. I think Greta really handled that well. Like, she kind of did a historical retrospective. Like, it had been something that they maybe, I don't know, I don't think they meant for it to be empowering, but showing women doing different things. But the whole movie is the breakdown of that relationship that we had, I think, us millennial women especially, playing with it, not really seeing it that way, having to grow up from that perspective and then unpack it.
Yeah, for sure. What about you, Liz?
Yeah, when I played with Barbies when I was a kid, I did not have any, like, underlying thoughts of it. You know, this is, like, an empowering thing. It just was. It was, like, an option to play with some, you know, a toy. You could, you know, put pretty clothes on them, and that was fun. And I don't feel like I ever took anything away from it that was, like, this is the image that you should be. Like, this is the body type that you should be, or this is the, you know, whatever. But I do see how it has become sort of a problematic image. I just did not internalize any of that.
That's good, though, yeah.
I just thought it was kind of cool that there was Barbie and she, like, had skates that might catch things on fire.
Hell yeah.
She had, like, one of them had a TV in her back. I was like, oh, that's crazy.
I totally never saw that one in real life.
Yeah, I definitely did. And I thought it was cool.
You know, I think that
it just looks so weird.
I never really thought about those things either. Like, I didn't internalize much other than it being just a fun doll to play with. But I also sort of wonder if part of that is because it reflected sort of, like, she sort of looked like me. Like, obviously I didn't have her body or whatever, but she had my skin color and, you know, like...
Must be nice.
But I'm saying, like, maybe I would have internalized it differently if I had been a different child playing with it. Right. And it didn't adequately reflect anything that looked like me or felt like me. But because it was sort of like the status quo of what we saw on TV and magazines and whatever, it was just totally normalized. don't know.
Yeah, I think it was super normal when we were kids. I'm trying to think about what was the age that I realized it was fucked up, because I think that's part of what we all ended up experiencing not long after growing out of it, realizing, oh, that's not the best representation for girls.
I think I
don't know that I had that realization.
I totally did. I really did. I thought about it a lot. I think especially, it's funny, we both had Baywatch Barbie, Amanda, because I remember thinking, I'm not into this lady who's like all tits on TV. I just liked that she was a lifeguard. Yeah,
I did too. I was like, I want to be a lifeguard.
I want to be on the beach all day. I want to do beach.
Hell yeah. Lifeguarding is cool.
Yeah.
I don't think that I like realized it after I sort of aged out of playing with Barbie. I think it was a realization a lot later on in life.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember having thoughts about it as a kid.
Maybe last year for me, you know, like, I don't really.
For real?
Yeah, because once I stopped playing with Barbies, I really didn't give them a second thought.
You didn't think about it.
And then I raised.
Well, but what about, when you raised girls?
Yeah, so, Madeline, when she was little, she didn't play with Barbies. Yeah. We didn't buy her Barbies. She didn't want them. She wanted.
What did she play with?
Shit. What is it called?
Butterfly knives.
Right.
Me too. A little meth lab kit.
You know, like the
Bratz
dolls?
Monster High. There's like a Monster High series where it was like vampire teens or something. Yeah.
And they're kind of like little squat dolls. They're a little less just.
No, I mean, I think that they were like maybe tall and thin, kind of like Barbies, but they had like crazy.
They're like emo dolls.
Yeah, they were super emo. Yeah, she was
like. It was like Mitch, bro. You can imagine like old pictures of Mitch. Yeah, from the Jay Taylor.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's basically he's a Monster High kid. Yeah.
Did he have that skirt?
Yeah. Okay. Like, I've seen a picture of it.
Is it plaid? Is it a plaid skirt?
It's like a little plaid mini skirt.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this will show up on there, but yeah.
Yeah. She had posters of that stuff on her room in her room.
They're like little monster looking dolls. Yeah, it's cool.
So are they children who were murdered? And then
I think they were vampires.
Fashionable? Wait, they were
maybe.
Steven, what's the entire lore of...
I need to know this.
They are also from Mattel, by the way, launched in 2010.
Oh, there you go.
It's from a TV show.
Tell us the story.
Let's see. Centers around the adventures of teenage children of monsters and other mythical teachers attending a high school called Monster High. So, yeah, it looks like the characters are like... there's Frankie Stein.
Nice.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, Draculaura. I fucking love that. That's awesome.
Beautiful girl's name.
Awesome.
That's really awesome. She's the daughter of Dracula. The other one is the daughter of Frankenstein's monster and his bride. Cleo Denial. She is the mummy's daughter.
No consent given on that name.
Claudine Wolf, daughter of the werewolf. And Laguna Blue, daughter of a sea monster.
Okay, I could totally get on
board
with
that. That's pretty cool.
These.
Yeah, I like that. That's a cool idea. So yeah, you win. Yeah, better than Barbie.
Well, yeah, I just didn't have the. I didn't ever have to buy them, so I didn't ever kind of like have to have the thought. Maybe this isn't good, you know, for my daughter to see. I don't even know if I really would have worried about it. Like, if I'm being honest about it,
I did ask. Like, I bought Aurora her first Barbie, which was a mermaid, because she's like obsessed with mermaids. Yeah. And I asked Sarah. I said, "How do you feel like?" I think it was a Christmas.
You bought
present.
Our niece a present and asked her mom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Good job, Steven. You're hired.
Sarah, big podcast, Sarah. Big, so yeah, you have to say who she is so that she doesn't fire us and hire you.
She's
guys.
Very litigious. She will shut us down.
She already
shut down Fan Off.
Fan Off?
She has a daughter. She is our niece. And it was Christmas and I was going to get her a present. And I sent Sarah like a couple of different ideas. And I was like, I don't know how you feel like about sort of perpetuating that stereotype or whatever. And she's like, no, she'd love a Barbie. She'd love that it's a mermaid. Like, we'll have these conversations with her in the same way that we have conversations with her about Disney princesses. And that she sees, like, this iteration of Disney princesses now that are not connected totally to princes. And then she watches the classics, right? Mm-hmm. So she's like, it's just a different conversation to have.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I definitely approach parenting the same way. We have conversations about so many things, even raising a boy. It's like, what's normal? What are these body standards that you're seeing that are okay and not? So I thought about it. I thought about it. And then of course, all my friends, you know, having little girls, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I would have given, I probably would not have given Barbies a lot to my girls. I probably would have given them a variety of dolls for sure.
Yeah. I think variety is good too. But I don't know, for me, definitely, I think this movie has reevaluated it all, because I'm like, oh yeah, like I see more of the career, different types of Barbies than I see like the look of Barbie. And I think that you can use that message to tell your kids then, like, they could be anything, right, or whatever, and whatever. But Brent, I'm curious, you too, what about your history with Barbies? I know you had a big collection.
Yeah, well, I grew up as an only child to a point, and then I had stepsisters, like I intimated earlier. They had Barbies, and I really didn't think too much of it, you know. They just kind of, like, clanked their heads together. Like, they didn't... They were dumb. They were younger than me. They were dumb automatically. They didn't know how to play with toys. Look, I'm very particular with how toys should be played with, and they didn't do it right, and it's disgusting, yep, and there's a reason I don't talk to them to this day. Wow. They've changed their identities, but that's not even worry about it. Beyond that,
serious.
Yeah. Beyond that, when I was like, I don't know, 16 to 18 years old, my mother told me that my grandmother got heavily into collecting Barbie dolls.
Surprise.
Yeah, she was, I don't know, like 50s or so, like mid 50s when she like got into it. I don't know if this is one of the things like, our generation does now, where we're like, okay, we've got some like disposable income here and there, like I can reinvest in like toys from my youth or like newer stuff or whatever. So she decorated, like she had trim all the way around this room in her house that was like shelving, and she just had like packaged Barbies decorated all the way around. And for like a few like holiday seasons or whatever, we would have to be on the hunt for whatever that year's Christmas Barbie was or whatever. And like, if we found it, we would let her know. But beyond that, like the thing about Barbie, and like, I definitely see the criticism about like how they have a very specific look, you know, tiny waistlines, all this stuff. And they, I don't know, they can like set a precedent for boys as to like how women should look. And I guess I'm just here to say that I'm pro Stepford Wife. I think that's a way to be, you know. Like, look, those ladies are getting shit done. That shit is, you know, mostly at home. I'm not telling them to do that. They're just doing that of their own volition. What am I supposed to do? Tell them to not
cut his mic. Cut his mic.
Yeah. Yeah,
Steven, you're with me on this, right?
Well, I'm filled with disappointment. Stop it.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Steven, yes, and
no, no. Steven, as a child, had his equal time with Barbie time and other toy time.
Now, when you say equal,
but I only paid the Barbie 71 cents.
Oh, come on.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
71%.
Look, we're trying to pay women for things that we want. You know, it's just like, I don't see what the problem is.
Oh my gosh.
I love this conversation.
I do just need to say that Steven's grandmother got into collecting dolls as well in her later years.
What?
Oh,
but
nice.
They were not Barbies. They were
sex dolls.
Creepy.
Were they terrifying?
They were creepy little baby dolls.
They were creepy old baby dolls.
And she had an entire room of them. And every time you went over to visit her, you had to visit the baby doll room.
Oh my God. Were they the baby dolls that have like the, you like tilt their heads around or whatever, and their eyes open?
Yeah.
But like the one eye gets stuck like
halfway.
It's like half, it's like a half transformed transformer. Yeah. It's just like sitting there. It's like the creepiest fucking shit you've ever seen in your life.
Just staring at the white of its eyes.
I mean, she was amazing. She was doing it. She would make clothes for them and donate them to like children that needed toys to play with. And she got a write up in the newspaper
needed possession.
And stuff. But, and I tried to keep that in the forefront of my mind. But every time we would be in that room, I'd be like, how much longer do I have to be in the room?
Yeah, it was pretty creepy.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's frightening. Dude, yeah. I have vivid memories of Toys R Us. Brent was talking about his grandma, like the holiday Barbies. I remember those. I remember walking down the aisles and looking at all the different like older, they'd have some of the classic Barbies and they'd have lots of different outfits, and then the holiday Barbies,
like,
and I never
red,
got
sparkly
one.
Sparkly dress with like the little fur cuff for their hands.
Oh man, a fur cuff. So
wow.
cute.
I was looking them so up right now because I remember that too. There's a red one in particular, like big poofy ones.
The one that looks like a candy cane.
Ooh, there's a lot of them, us. Yeah.
It's a gown.
There's a...
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole bunch that are different. I remember there's like being a big thing at that time, though. Is that the fur cuff one you were talking about?
No, but I like it.
She looks like a Russian.
She looks like a Russian
hat.
Oligarch.
Hell yeah,
wife.
With a big old fluffy hat. Yeah.
This is a Putin Barbie. Big seller. Sold out in Russia, nowhere else. It's just interesting.
It would be terrible if you had some kind of accident. I don't know.
Oh my God, that was the Barbie that called that earlier.
Where was
right?
Putin Barbie earlier?
Also, Putin Barbie is what you call a Barbie who's had too much chili. Back to you.
I saw that coming. I saw it.
I can see the someone commercial. You can feed her chili and then she'll poot it out. Put it out, Barbie.
Her accessory is a bottle of Beano.
They always have accessories.
It's banned in Russia.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's really right. Okay, so let's get into movie talk for reals here. So this came out in 2023. Came out on July 9th, our anniversary. Hey-o.
And Liz's birthday.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, did it miss birthday.
Yeah. Ah. So yeah, great day, obviously, for it to come out. And yeah, this was... big hit of the summer. One of the things I wanted to mention kind of at the top, because everybody already knows this, is how much this movie fucking made. This was budgeted between $128 to $145 million, and it made $1.446 billion.
Holy shit.
Hell yeah.
That's fucking crazy. I think I remember right, something like Greta Gerwig was the first female director above $1 billion or something like that.
Really?
Yet did not get an Oscar nomination. Just gonna put that out there.
Fucking pissed. Yeah.
I was gonna talk about the Oscars for one. Did you guys watch the Ryan Gosling performance of I'm Just Ken?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I saw it after. I didn't watch the Oscars,
right.
But I did see that performance. Multiple
it was pretty
times.
Rad. Yeah, I know. It's right.
Like, while she was alone. With the lights on.
While I was alone, while I was with people. It was just,
she makes it 2 minutes, 22 seconds in every time, and then it's just, then it's time to clean up.
Yeah. A little known fact on this podcast, maybe, is that song is like on repeat on Steven's phone.
Oh, absolutely. I hear it all the time. It's so fucking good. The music in this in general, the I'm Just Ken, is off.
Wow.
So fucking good. Look at that. The magic of podcasting right
there.
It
gets stuck in my head all the time.
Oh, it's so good. This song, I'd have to look it up right now. I remember Mark Ronson is part of the producing team for this. And,
yeah.
And then fucking Slash just appeared during the Oscar performance. We were like, is that Slash?
It's awesome. He's on the real song, too. It's awesome.
Yeah, I saw that they had Simu Liu showed up and, like, the other guy.
Yeah.
Like, the two
Gigi
other, like, Kens or whatever.
All
right.
Of the Kens
but they
were
didn't,
there.
They didn't, like, talk or anything? They just, like, danced?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You guys just really, like, flew them in. Okay, cool.
Totally
yeah.
Like, it's I haven't totally do any acting though. Bits at all.
Yeah, and I still try to look this one up. The music in general for this whole movie, though, so fucking good. This one, obviously, a big hit. But the one that also at the Oscars they performed was the...
What Am I Made For?
Yeah, the Billie Eilish and the...
Phineas
song,
so
yeah.
good,
which becomes so the good. Score, kind of underlying score for a lot of the movie. Amanda and I watched a making of sort of that song from both of them. So fucking good.
Damn, she came in hot. Sorry. Go ahead.
It's like whisper hot. It is. She talked about it in this YouTube clip we found. It's like 15 minutes long about them making this, and they talked about how they stumbled upon this melody. She struggled so hard to be quiet but loud enough, and it's like this really like vulnerable. Sort of, position she's trying
to
get.
She didn't want to belt it. She wanted it to have, like, a very, like, ethereal, sort of wispy sound to it. And so she had to, like, sing really in the back of her, or the top of her register, very quietly.
Well, sounds like a huge difference for Billie Eilish. Normally we know her from screaming her head off all the time. So I'm glad she could step out of her comfort zone a little bit. That's cool.
Are you not a Billie fan?
No, I like her. I think she's good. I think like goddamn. What is that one song? You Should See Me in a Crown. That song is a goddamn banger.
Yeah,
I like her a lot. I think she's
really
good.
Her stuff really.
Steven didn't like her for the longest time because he couldn't get past like her big like
her fucking green hair and her big fucking jackets. I just don't understand any of it.
Oh my god, Steven, that's so Gen Z to me. I was just like,
no, talk to the hand. Yeah.
And because then, she didn't want to be overly sexualized, I think, yeah, is what the message was.
Yeah.
Well, that and then I listened to
Steven, this is what I'm talking about. Stepford Wives, right? Am I right?
Right. Brother? If she just looked more normal. If she looked bangable, I would listen to her music, you know? Yeah. She's like, guys, just look bangable, please. So anyway.
I've never seen her once in high heels.
Yeah, I don't know what the lesson of this movie is, but I think I missed it. But anyway, get in the kitchen, Billy.
Let's watch it again.
You know what really won me over was Amanda kept playing songs of hers, and I was like, oh, I really like this. And then she'd be like, well, this is Billie Eilish. And I was like, oh, okay. And then Phineas, I kept finding his music, and then he did a crossover thing with the Airborne Toxic Event, the band that I like so much. And so I was like, I started listening to his stuff, and then found some YouTube clips of them together where they literally record these things like in their bedroom, and they have like a small house with like a bunch of musical instruments, and it just seems so personal and cool. And then I was like, oh, I do like her stuff. And then she came up with this, and I think this is throughout the movie I noticed this sort of melody that plays under the score and stuff really makes the whole movie so emotional and connected. And I just think it's so beautiful. So on the Oscars as well, their performance was great. Even though I love the other song more, I think this was a good win. So that was nice as well.
Yeah, I was thinking about this because I tuned into the Oscars like immediately before I'm Just Kin, like that performance started. Right. I was like, oh shit, I'm glad I like just happened to turn on the TV at this point.
Oh hell yeah.
And that played, I think I had that realization at that moment. Like, I knew that Greta Gerwig wasn't nominated for Best Director despite all of this success, you know? And I was like, god damn, I love the song, but like also, is it fucked up that I want the Ken song from the Barbie movie to win? Right. Like, that's like, maybe that's not a good look. But this one did win, so
to work out. Yeah, and it's cool. I like that they were able to have fun with a Ken song. I don't think they ever expected to win with that, but it makes me think back to like the Muppet movie with Jason Segel, and they didn't allow them to perform that year. It would have been them and the song from Once, which is so fucking good. And they basically like they allowed them to do it this year, and I'm glad they allowed to have that fun. And then Ryan Gosling's performance was so good. And there's a part, it looks like I don't know if it's like Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. It looks like a Marilyn Monroe thing, and it was like his idea to have like on the steps with all the guys in suits and stuff, and it was just really cool. So I would highly recommend go and check that out and listening to that song every day like I do, because it's amazing. Yes, indeed.
I like to be in my kitchen and just be like, and I'm good at doing stuff.
I get really fucking into it, man. Yeah. I really do.
Me too.
Not even a lot.
This song came on, we were on vacation, the song came on the Oscars. And I remember running halfway across the house to find Steven and being like, Kennergy! And then just hauling ass back. And then I just heard little feet coming after me.
Even Miles came with me to watch it. He had never heard it. Our little nephew. Cute.
Yeah. That's so Amanda.
Yeah. It was awesome. I'm glad I didn't miss it. So, and then we watched it many times on YouTube after that. So, I have a few notes for this movie, but I think a lot of it is just me talking and stuff as well. But one of the things I wanted to kind of say is Brett and I don't remember when it was, but we watched Roger Rabbit for the show at one point and both loved it, obviously, because it's an amazing movie. And I had a similar feeling watching this movie last night, that it has that sort of like cartoon-esque crossover feeling with like live action. Like Barbie Land itself is so like magical and whimsical and stuff, and it just feels like like it's magical and whimsical, but it feels realistic. It feels like lived in. It feels good. It feels cozy for a movie. So that was one of my big notes, is that watching it this third time, especially when I knew everything that was going to happen, I kind of was like, I don't need any twists or turns. I just know it's a good story. And it was so lovely to be a part of it. It's just like a lovely movie to sit in. So I'm kind of curious for anybody who wants to jump in with anything.
I agree, Steven. I think it was really lived in. I was, when we watched it, this was my third time, I think, maybe fourth. I was like, damn, it was so well thought out. I have so many thoughts, but yeah, I don't know how she made it that cohesive. It was freaking awesome.
Yeah, big team involved.
Did you all think that was going to be, I had only seen like teasers going into the movie. And so when we started watching it, I didn't actually know where the plot was going to go.
Oh right? Yeah, same.
And I didn't know what it was going to be. And I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but it wasn't the story that was told.
Yeah.
I had the exact same experience where I didn't watch a single trailer before going in. It was totally blind.
Yeah.
And I really thought that it was just going to be, you know, a movie about toy, like the toy Barbie. Like, I had no idea that there would be any kind of messaging or anything.
That's fun.
And then I know it was really great because it was a wonderful surprise whenever I went in there. And then it was just like this heartfelt, you know, feminism 101 class.
Oh yeah.
And
just like takes you out at the legs in the middle of it. You're like, oh God, why are you talking about the woman's experience? It was unexpected.
Exactly.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, I walked out feeling like completely validated and like,
and empowered and also excited about putting on outfits.
Yeah. Right.
It's honestly,
I can do both.
It's honestly one of the things I learned.
I can do all of those things.
Because to me, like, obviously I don't wear makeup. I don't care about dressing up and stuff. It's not my thing. And so I don't understand that, I guess. You know, I never connected with that. And this movie helped me kind of bridge the gap. And also watching our niece, Aurora, who is 3 going on 4 now. And she's getting, like, she has, like, heart-shaped sunglasses now. And, like, she just looks like she's getting more into fashion and stuff, and like she likes things like, and
she Amanda, knows exactly what she wants.
Yeah. Like, she loves Amanda to paint her fingernails and her toenails. And it's like, I realized through this movie almost like I kind of got it. And I was like, oh, they just really like dressing up. They just want to do that. And it's also like, you can be an amazing astronaut, but also want to look pretty in this dress. And I was like, oh, okay, I get it. So it kind of even helped me kind of bridge that gap a little bit. So,
yeah, I think that's what a lot of toxic guys who did not like this movie couldn't quite wrap their heads around is having two thoughts in your head at once. Right. And look, I don't like to brag, but I can do that sometimes. Like, you know, today's not one of those days, but I will say, you know, I enjoyed the movie both times. I think I enjoyed the movie even more the second time because I knew, like, what the movie was. I didn't know what the story was, like you all were saying the first time I went to go see it, but I loved it as it was like unfurling before me. But the second time, knowing the lay of the land and then going to see it with these two jokers, and they were just like constantly like talking throughout the movie, but I was like, it's fine. What am I supposed to do? Tell them to be quiet? Like, that's not, you know, time and place, Brent.
Steven would have gotten up and moved.
No, once you've seen a movie like 20 it's times, true. Which, you know, whatever, we had at that point, then you can talk through it. It's party movie time.
It was my second time seeing the movie. And,
that is your fault.
Yeah, but you
should have seen it more.
We were talking to each other.
I know. Right? I know.
Talk to you.
I knew. So when we like,
but were you sitting in between them and they were?
No. We talked about this. I think Allison asked me. She's like, "Do you want to sit in the center?" I was like, "No. I know because I know what's going to happen."
It was a smart decision because we talked through the whole thing. Oh my god! Did you see that? I love that part.
But look, it was fun. It was like the best version of that. You know, like us and the other four people sitting 3 rows behind us. Everyone's having a good time, so it was fun.
We didn't get shushed.
Yeah, that's true.
It was because
I wasn't there.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I do love a party. Sure. This movie wants a party. Like Alamo Drafthouse does those like movie parties. I'm sure they've done one for this where they'll give like props and, you know, make a big deal out of it. Maybe have like special drinks or food. And this movie seems like one of those. You'd love to have like watch it again with a bunch of people that really love it. Have a good time. Mm-hmm. Sing fucking those songs. You know, the I'm just Ken in the middle of the aisles and stuff like that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. I'm going to need you to learn that dance sequence, Steven. We're going to have a little disco dance party and Liz is going to wear the sparkly. Oh, okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so you just need me to bust it out right now or?
Brent can learn it with you and then you guys can do a whole performance.
Okay. I'm not that kind of Indian. I don't dance. I stay where I is.
Dude.
Wow.
What about I think the Bollywood?
You are that kind of Indian.
Look.
They are the best dancers.
You don't get to have it both ways.
You can't. Yeah. You can't take that back now.
Wow. Okay. The white people telling me what my brown ass can't do. Well, Liz, watch out. They're coming for you next. Watch out, Chief.
I'm fine. I'm mostly white, so I'll be all right.
She's not here to support you.
Yeah, I know.
You're on your own here.
No, we just need to, I think you got to accept that. Your brown Indian type does dance just like
Well, I'm saying I'm not one of them, you know? We're
disappointed.
We're not a monolith.
The only difference is when your dance, the rain doesn't come, but when Liz dances, it does. That's the difference.
And the eagles.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
And the colors of the wind.
Also. I love Liz popping back into the frame. Just so pleased.
You look like someone gets me.
I really appreciate it whenever I feel seen. So.
Oh my God.
I'm glad people notice that it starts raining after I've been dancing for a while.
When my shake my ass.
That's right.
You do your rain twerk.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Oh, so good. Oh, I'm glad it's called that now.
Amanda, did you? I don't know if you get any notes yesterday.
I didn't really take notes. Because I told you some notes that I wanted you to take.
Oh, okay. Yep.
This is a good start.
Stephen, this is going exactly how I imagined it would.
This is a great start.
It's great.
Yeah. Listen, I'm trying to engage everybody and make sure that everybody gets their piece of the movie.
No, I want to say the notes, but you were my secretary.
But I don't think I wrote those notes.
That's appropriate.
I'm not sure that I'm a good secretary. You know what I'm saying? I need
to... So I guess we'll just bounce around a little bit because... one thing I will say is that the first time that the existential dread, like, finds its way in, and she's like, does anybody ever feel like dying? Or think about dying?
It gets me. Every time.
I think about that scene all the time when I'm having some kind of existential crisis, and I'm like, yes, Barbie.
Yes. All the time. Me too.
And that's okay to also feel while you want to look pretty and conquer the world, I guess. You
know? I also have to say that I know that the message of the movie is that she didn't want to be the thing or like the product of the idea. She wanted to be the one making the ideas. But I was like, you don't want to live in the real world. You're like, what?
Go back.
Go back.
Hang out with your friends.
Yeah. Dance. Have a dance party every
dance
day.
Dance around.
That part with Kate McKinnon as Weird Barbie, and she's like, do you want the high heel and go back to not remembering any of this, or do you want like the sneaker or what? I don't know what it is.
The Birkenstock.
Yeah, the Birkenstock. Yeah. And she's like, oh, the high heel. Yeah, I want to forget all this. And she's like, oh, no, you're not supposed to do that. That was a false choice. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of, ignorance is bliss for a reason.
That's how life
it's not the
is
best,
every
but
day.
You know.
Yeah.
It's like offering you. And I'm like, oh man, I want to be on mental vacation. And then I choose to be responsible and work on my mental health. Damn
it's like you want what you can't have, right? I want to be like a mindless doll taking a fake shower, drinking fake milk with no cares in my head.
This is a really weird
I want that
fantasy,
comforter
but...
so bad.
But
I fantasize about that sparkly comforter.
But don't you think it'd be uncomfortable? I feel like
it's only on the top. It's soft underneath.
But your arms go on top of it.
Wow.
I'm not an arms on top of the blanket kind of girl.
Oh, wow. We're getting to the meat of the conversation here. What about you guys?
Wow, here we go.
Brent, you want an arms on top kind of girl?
We knew this would happen. The friendship is fracturing right before our very eyes.
Well, I don't see Paige Kearns around, so.
Oh, damn that bitch.
What was that?
I don't. Thank you. I have no idea what the fuck we're talking about.
These guys don't know. Okay, this three knows. Okay, there was this girl back in the
this
day.
This has to stay in the podcast. I'm not editing this out.
That's
so,
fine. I'm,
okay.
Listen,
all right. All right.
Listen, I'm not running for president. I've decided that.
Okay.
She broke us
There's
up
this
for
girl
a year.
In elementary school.
Oh.
But but true love won, and we got back together. Mm-hmm.
Fourth you and Amanda? Grade.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
There was a rift in fourth grade.
Yeah. She was a mean girl, and I'm not friends with mean girls.
Not anymore.
Wow. That was really sad, you guys. I'm glad that worked out.
Oh, my God.
But, like, how does this relate to the arms above the bed thing? Just, like, the fracturing?
This was their first rift.
Because you said that you saw the friendship breaking down. And I was like, well, if we can come back together after Paige Kearns,
after
then
that,
I think
we can
get past
survive
the
anything.
Conversation.
Yeah. I see.
Me and Amanda have been together for, what did we decide? How many years?
Don't look at me.
30 years, right?
Probably, yes, I think so.
1994?
Damn. No, 93. Yeah. I mean,
Mm-hmm.
You're as old as Jurassic Park? Your friendship is as
That's
old as Jurassic
really
Park?
That's really good. That's just so many highlights of goodness there. This is how you make a good relationship.
Or the Super Mario Brothers movie?
No, not that one. Strike it from the record.
Is your relationship as solid as the Super Mario Brothers movie starring one John Leguizamo?
Yeah. Yeah, the beautiful classic.
I don't know what that means.
With a fabulous partnership and hilarity and occasional crazy dance sequences also.
I'm sorry, I can't endorse it.
Damn it, Amanda, endorse it.
Another metaphor.
Okay, fine. We'll watch it together later.
Can you stick with Jurassic Park then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs and friendship. That's where it's at.
Yeah.
Okay.
We saved it. Brent, we saved it. I do need to know, though, Brent, are you an arms above the blanket kind of guy or below the blanket?
Oh, I like to pretend I'm back in the womb, and I just like curl up all the way underneath that son of a bitch. I will pull that comforter all the way over the top of my head.
Wait a minute, over your head? Mm-hmm. Are you an over the head person?
Yeah, I feel like I'm either trying to get back in the womb or suffocate myself.
Do
either way,
I'm fine.
A little
air bubble for your mouth so that you can breathe.
Yeah,
not warm air.
Nah.
The monsters can't touch you? When I was little, if you
That's
were covered all the way. The monsters couldn't touch you.
Yeah,
obviously.
Specifically vampires. Couldn't get your neck.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't have that one.
Are you sleeping under a garlic blanket? What?
It stinks to sleep with her, but I also love it because I love garlic.
She likes a garlic blanket, but she won't take a sparkle blanket.
I did wake up this morning. I was like, why does our bedroom smell like garlic? And I look over and there's like a half-eaten piece of pizza on a plate on the nightstand.
Wait, for real?
That's Maggie's fault. It happens. Yeah. Don't point at me. The pointing goes to you, Liz. Arms above the blanket or below?
Oh, definitely below. Also fetal position.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Yeah. Just above
to the head?
Feel that existential dread.
You know,
really.
The blanket has to be tucked tightly behind my neck and God, squished up. Like, you know, there can't be air flowing in around the neck area because
it's a no airflow situation.
I don't need anybody to try to go for the jugular while I'm sleeping.
She was also worried about vampires.
Man, that makes sense.
Or like wild animals behind the neck. I don't know. I mean, it just like it has to be tucked in behind my neck, and also like in the front,
It's
gotta be all tucked in there.
Steven, what about you?
Oh, I'm not answering questions.
Perfect.
Steven's exempt from this because he doesn't sleep with a blanket.
I do sometimes.
What?
Oh, God.
That makes no sense.
He's a sheet sleeper.
I'm a sheet sleeper. Or a light blanket. I don't like much usually on me, unless it's really cold.
Well, I was going to say.
Where are your arms, though?
Have you brought your arms with you today?
Well, he's Ken, so they're detachable. Oh, so whenever we get in a bed, I just pop them off.
I'm trying to pop noise. I go above and below because I get hot and cold. And so that's why I sleep with a blanket off me a lot of times because I keep getting, I'll put it on, I get sweaty, and then I take it off and I get cold. And
do you have your house warm when you're trying to go to bed?
Yeah, we turn it up to like 90, 95. Because of the dinosaurs.
I think I see the problem here.
Yeah.
What's the matter?
You throw a few handfuls of sand on your sheets and
we actually sleep in
snuggling.
A sauna.
Yeah, I'm trying this new diet.
Got to get all those toxins out.
Right, it's called a sleep sauna diet. And basically you just try to sweat out everything, all the Doritos you ate all day. My sheets are orange. It's gross.
And you ate Cool Ranch, which is fucked up.
Exactly. It's so weird that it interacts
It's
with
the fake tan he put on before bed.
It's a good look.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying that's the best way to be.
Well, I want that Barbie ideal skin, you know? And she's not just white, she's tan. So, you know, I want to look toned and just like her. So
he draws on a six pack.
Have they ever made an albino Barbie?
I've never met an albino Barbie, but have they had one?
She has like little pink eyes. And
it's me. So pale. Translucent.
She comes complete with a rash guard.
Oh.
Yeah. And sunscreen.
Yeah.
150 SPF.
A big hat.
Wait, what's a rash guard?
It's like
those long sleeve swim shirts.
Mm-hmm.
That have SPF built into them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They often wear them when people are surfing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Prolonged beach activities.
The brown guy doesn't need
diving.
It, so.
No.
Well.
Well, everybody, regardless of their melanin, should be using SPF.
I don't like the way you said melanin at me. I felt some kind of way.
That's science. Man, you can't be offended about science.
I don't agree with this.
Oh, God. Guys, he's going red.
Mm-hmm. My truck nuts are going to be very angry to hear this later.
What color are your truck nuts, though? That's very important.
Black, obviously. You know, you had to have the biggest ones.
It's just what is available when you got them. Yeah. At Quick Trip. So one of the things I wanted to bring up in this, and I meant to read a little bit more or watch something about some of the history of the making of this movie, but I love that Margot Robbie was cast in this. She's kind of perfectly stereotypical Barbie. And then you get into the movie, and that's what she's called. And you see all the other types of Barbies out there and stuff, but she fits that role so well. And I think it because of the way they structure the movie and what they're trying to say with it, it works so perfectly because there's even a moment where Helen Mirren, the narrator, is like, says to me, like, Margot Robbie was the wrong person to cast in this for this reason or whatever. Yeah. But one of the early castings of Barbie when they were first making it was Amy Schumer was going to be Barbie for a long time.
Would have been absolutely different movie.
Totally different movie, right?
Absolutely. And, like, so glad that didn't happen.
So glad. And I could see where they would go with that, even given the same sort of story and the same kind of message. But I feel like they would have... Given her humor and her movie's style and stuff, I feel like it wouldn't have been so subtle. I feel like even if everybody else involved was the same, I feel like it'd be a little more crass. It'd be a little more in your face, and it just wouldn't have worked as well. And then it's so funny to me that when they cast Margot Robbie after that, it was kind of like, oh, well, they're really going stereotypical. But then they really turn it on its face when you watch the movie and you realize like what they were trying to do. So...
I think it would have been more of a niche movie if they had cast her.
I don't think it would have made as much money.
Right. I think that she has a specific type of humor and it doesn't translate to like wide audiences.
Or it did for a time. But
is that a fat joke or what does that mean?
Wow.
Nope.
That's fucked up, Amanda. Shit. Ladies getting canceled over the place today.
You can take such innocuous statements sometimes from people. Really make them feel bad. Speaking of fat jokes, I almost broke my chair.
His chair just cracked.
All right, this happened. I don't know if this is on. If this is actually in an episode, but this happened to me and Brent. I lean back at this when I'm laughing sometimes in my chair. It's like a ghost chair. It is clear. It's acrylic chair, and I cracked it one day, leaning back, really like laughing with Brent. And so far, it keeps doing it, and I'm waiting for it just to fucking lose it one day, and I'm just gonna fall fucking back. You know,
this is the goal. This is the goal now, Steven.
So I'm keeping it.
Steven laughs
so much
he
until
falls on the ground. Well,
exactly. 2024 crack watch. When will it happen?
It's a clear chair. You can totally crack watch from the below if you want to. So yeah, get your camera.
The
set
race
up,
to shatter is on.
But I'm curious for you guys as well. But what about you, Liz? What did you think about the casting of Margot Robbie and maybe versus Amy Schumer as well?
Well, I do think it was a good casting. I think it's good because of her previous roles, right? Like she was in all of these. What was the Wolf of Wall Street? She's in that. And then what was the other one?
She's Suicide. Harley Quinn in the movie.
That's what I was trying to think. Well, and I just kind of feel like these roles that she's had before are like so sexualized and like almost.
You thought she was sexualized in Wolf of Wall Street? I don't get it. I thought it was pretty subtle. Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah, but so I think that this was like a perfect choice because she's like basically claiming ownership and turning that whole like. Women are just like these things to be viewed as like a sexual object or I'm not even really sure how I'm trying to say this, but it's like I have a really good feeling about it. If I could turn that feeling into words, it'd be great. But I think because of her previous roles, taking this one on and you know, she becomes this actual doll in this movie and then shows the humanity of that doll, or I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how I'm trying to phrase this, but
I think this is great. It was really good. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. It's like, given the context of the role she's in, where, like in Wolf of Wall Street, she was like full frontal and doing all kinds of stuff, but she owns that as well. Like, that was her choice as an actress, and like, she kind of, she's amazing in that role and in the other parts as well. But taking that and then kind of putting her in the stereotypical Barbie role, and then they turn that on its face, and you just like you have right. this expectation, but it's totally different. Like especially you were saying like you didn't even watch the trailers going into this. You don't right. know what you're getting into, and they're really like thought about it, you know, way more than I expected them to for a Barbie movie of all things. Like I can't imagine getting this much meaning out of the fucking Transformers movies, you know. Brent, I don't know.
Steven, what are you talking? And the second one, there's a Transformer that drags its own truck nuts across the pyramids. I don't know. Like, you don't understand the metaphor? I can't explain it to you. You got to dig a little bit deeper.
Something about manhood? How does it make you feel, Brent?
Oh, well, wow.
Man makes me feel like a man.
I do think that's a really good point, Steven, because that was one of the comments that I made whenever I came home from watching it. It was like, I'm so proud that the maybe first movie that we've made about a girl toy has such a powerful, empowering message. And it's not right. just like shit being blown up, and it's not, you know, having hot girls in there for hot girls' sake. And, you know, like if you think about Transformers movies, it's just literally like one explosion after the other. And like, those are cool toys, you know, they're not like, I don't know. Mm. I wanted them when I was a kid. But that's the movie that you get from boy toys. And for this girl toy.
It's nuts and stupid. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, right. Yeah.
No, but hilariously, okay, even though we're talking about this, that's something that I think about. I wonder, I'm not going to be able to verbalize this well. I wonder maybe we don't have enough opportunity for guys to talk about, you know, whatever their influences were that from childhood and society. I don't know, all of the media influence that's different than ours. We get to have these cathartic experiences these days that are like, you know, we've made entire movies that break apart everything from, you know, body image to our roles in society, is talking about motherhood, you know, and all of these parts of life we're experiencing. But guys do that?
We had Shia LaBeouf, so
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we had Marky Mark, so I think we got it covered.
I think
men are fine.
Well,
yeah, they're totally fine. They're good. They're good enough.
I guess the point is that there are a lot of men who don't want to have those internal conversations, or they like the status quo. They like They like the patriarchy. And they like
I feel
how things
attacked.
Are.
Now I don't.
I'm not
saying
you guys. Back it down.
Honestly, I'm not
Calm
even
down.
Paying attention. I'm thinking about my tiki torch collection I just bought at Target. And it's really good for marching. They've really done a lot to lighten the weight.
You in the marching? That's wrong.
What? That's wrong now? It's 2024. It's okay to be a bigot.
It's
I'm going to break someone's fucking chair today. That's all I want.
If I really do.
I'm not going to fall out of this chair. I'm not going to do
it. If one of us does in this episode, that's going to be like the benchmark. The chair mark.
For the rest of the
series of these.
I think the point that I'm trying to make is that there's not been as much of an impetus to have movies that turn that message back on men. Because...
Well,
for sure.
Go ahead. Don't let me interrupt you. I did, but I apologize for it.
Well,
stand still.
The moment's passed.
Okay. I hear that a lot. So, I don't think that guys would necessarily like get it. Like, you know, soft guys like, Steven, would explain it to me and I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. I still like the fire part though. You know, like, it's cool. And actions.
Brent, I'll break it down for you. Okay. Here's the
thing. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
When they're transforming, right. Oh. When they're transforming. Uh-huh. That's like you transforming yourself.
Oh, fucking hell, bro. Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Fucking
it's a
hell, bro.
Metaphor.
Yep. So
I thought it was like a fucking simile, dude. Holy shit. It's a fucking metaphor.
Yeah.
It's a metaphorma. Yeah.
Wow. My mind is blown.
You see, when they find Optimus Prime in the ice,
uh-huh.
This is like the ice of our hearts, bro.
Oh, my God.
You got to chip that out. and transform yourself.
This is so sweet.
Where'd you get the fucking trailer, dude? I felt like I lived in him for a long time. For about 18 years.
You gotta snort.
Sometimes it just happens.
I'm so proud of you guys for that exploration.
God. Yeah, this is a breakthrough moment.
I'm really mad that that's what did it.
I'm really glad about it.
That's valid. That's valid.
I'd like to take that back. I don't know that you guys earned that.
I think we did because it happened, and that's how you earn a snort. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll take it.
So I do have a question to pose to you guys because I had never thought about this, but one of my friends in Houston, I had asked her what she thought about the movie, and she was like, sort of lukewarm on it. And she was like,
what?
Yeah. So it was so interesting because she said when I watched it, she was like, I saw more of a story arc of growth for Ken than mm-hmm. I did for Barbie.
This is a good point. Yeah.
And what movie was she watching? That's insane.
And that she thought that she was like, I know that the point of it in the end is that like a matriarchy only or a patriarchy only doesn't work. Like there has to be, you know, more equivalence. But she was like, I didn't like go out of the movie being like empowered for Barbie and the decisions that she made. I was more focused on the growth that Ken had. And I was like, huh, okay, I didn't get that. But
thought it was... She was more focused on the growth that Ken had?
That was the takeaway that she had from the movie, was that she thought that the stronger storyline in the movie was like the growth that Ken had versus Barbie. And she was like, and I think that's opposite of what they were trying to do, but that's how she read it.
Was she just like laser focused on his abs the whole time, and that's why she was really absorbing that one?
They're so distracting.
It really is hard not to focus on those.
I just love objectifying
the man. He's also the perfect Ken. I think if you want to do like a stereotypical Ken and Barbie, they really did like have the
perfect hit the nail on
the right
the
place
head.
And time. Yeah.
Do you know who the Ken would have been in the Amy Schumer one?
Man, I really wonder. I don't know if they had gotten that far at
that
point.
Who's the male equivalent of Amy Schumer?
Who's the male equivalent?
Yeah, who in your brain?
Dane Cook.
Mm-hmm. Who, Amanda?
You said Dane Cook.
I said Dane Cook.
That
I mean,
makes
honestly,
sense to
yeah,
me.
That, yeah, yeah, that does work.
Yeah.
I don't know. All I can find is other people that just kind of... like auditioned for that role, but I think it's like at different points. I don't really know if they had cast their kin at that point or whatever. But she would have taken the movie a different way. I wonder if they would have had I don't know if it would have worked. I don't know if there was the same goal. I don't remember all the people involved. I just know that she was at one point and they kind of changed things. But
okay, I want to go back.
Yeah,
can I go back to this to Amanda's point here? Where her friend thinks that Ken had the bigger...
yes, let's please.
Arc.
Story arc.
She did quote fingers when she said arc. That's fucked up.
So I think that's interesting because when I rewatch this movie or when I watched it the first time, I'm like, okay, this to me, and I've said it a million times, this is feminism 101. It's mm-hmm. like all of the things that are like, you know... typical issues for women. And I think most of us who are feminists like are very, very, very familiar with all of these issues. And for us, this movie is really more validating than anything. But for a lot of people, this is like a really learning experience, or it should be kind of a learning experience. Like mm-hmm. here are common problems that women face every day. And I think that the audience that should be growing the most is probably the male side of our population, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's interesting that Ken mm-hmm. does have, or, you know, people view his arc maybe as being more interesting, because I think that is the more interesting arc that probably should happen in reality.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, but I think, I'm sure you guys felt the same way. I had a whole lot of friends and coworkers that talked a lot about, they really clearly didn't get the message, and they were mad about Barbie pretty offended about the whole movie, and they were like, and poor Ken, what happened to him, and why did they just shit on Ken by the end of the movie?
Yeah.
And I was pretty stunned. I was like, I have a lot of people that I know that felt that way.
Wait, they felt sorry for Ken?
Yeah.
I ran into those people too.
Good old Oklahoma. A lot of people really hated on it. I was a little bit on Facebook because I've been selling stuff to move, and oh God, I hate being on social media.
Yes,
so
that's
saw
the
a whole lot
one.
Of that. Whole lot of just hating on Barbie and being like, they did Ken wrong. What about the man? Where is he going to live? And I'm like, yeah, you missed the point, dude. You missed the point. Mm-hmm. For sure.
I will say that I feel it. I also kind of watched it through his eyes at some points, partially because I'm a man, but
yeah, that's okay.
He also is kind of, because it's Ryan Gosling and because he has like the hit song, like there's no Barbie song in this movie. There's a Ken song that's fucking a juggernaut hit and was sung at the Oscars. There's no Barbie song. And I was like, it's a weird thing that they really are doing both. They both have an arc. But his is interesting to me sometimes because hers is the obvious main story. And I think that you're missing the point if you don't follow along with that and everything. But it's almost interesting, too, because it's like he's a male in a matriarchy who's waking up and starts a revolution where all the men take over government and take over everything. And it's like in the real world, that would be like a woman being
doing
like
it,
doing that and starting a revolution where all women realize they have all the power and fucking take over everything. Go for it, ladies. That'd be cool. And so hers, Barbie's story, though, is like going into the real world and kind of seeing that things aren't like her world and then going back and like, you know, finding the Ken thing or whatever. But I don't know. Like, it's interesting like how much they do focus on Ken, I thought, in this movie than Barbie. Like, if I'm sure they're going to make a sequel to this, whatever. I'd be intrigued
I feel like it's just really good commentary because when you look at that and you realize people are mad that you're forgetting about Ken, that's the entire point of the movie, and that if that women are living that reality in this current patriarchy. And if you're sad that Ken didn't have rights and a voice and a home and a place to be himself and be validated in his culture where he lived, that's what she's saying. That's what Greta Gerwig is saying about women right now in reality and not Barbie land. And they, I mean, it's ironic. They completely missed the point. But it also, I love to think about this. I thought about this every single time I watched the end of it. It's so great. I feel like maybe we're coming to some kind of cultural awakening about the end of the story doesn't have to be romance. It doesn't have to be, did they get together? Are they okay? Was it that even if they start to know themselves more, they would get together? That's not always the answer, but it's find out who you are, figure out what you want to do and be. Does it have to be something traditional? No. And I think that that was a really interesting, I like that she left it open as a question because it's uncomfortable. We don't see that always in a movie. And that choice by itself is something that even I'm uncomfortable with. And when I sit and think about it, I'm like, okay, it leaves it open-ended. And what are they going to do?
Well, it's interesting because the Ken being a doll at all is like, why? Why was he even invented? You know, there's not really an equivalent of that in any other toy, you know? Like, why did Barbie need Ken to be invented? Right.
It's like a default.
It gets invented because, you know, there's this idea that women are just like, need a guy.
Yeah,
you always know, and it's like a, it's a default sort of thought. And so, you know, I think that her not ending up with Ken is just kind of an expression of, what was the point of having him in the first place? Like, if the point was, like, honestly, to have, like, some sort of female empowerment, like, you know, early feminism in, you know, the U.S. and like, women can work jobs and women can do all these things. Why was Ken even invented? You know?
Yeah.
Like,
what was he made for?
What was he made for?
Really,
honestly.
Just about him. No.
Yeah.
Need another song.
He was invented in 1961, 2 years after Barbie, just so you know. And
interesting.
I'm not sure why he was invented, but I do
Barbie
wonder if they
needed
if,
a guy.
If they took part of Barbie's rib and then made Ken, or.
Yeah. Yeah. That, in Barbie land reality. Yeah.
Right.
Would the male version of What Was I Made For, would it be screamo, you think? And it'd be really loud instead of whispery?
Probably.
I want to do it. I can't.
Brent's changing his head.
Absolute disrespect. No. Absolute disrespect. I thought we were all having a good time.
You really hit him where it hurts.
Ouch.
In the nubbin of the
in the nude patch.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I do have to say, and I know this is probably terrible, but I love Matchbox 20.
Oh yeah.
I wanted to ask about that.
And I was like, damn. I like that song. I wouldn't want to listen to it for 4 hours with somebody creepily.
Well, I've got this on a 4 hour loop, so we're about to travel down that road here. So I wanted to ask about this because, like, they had to go through like a selection of different songs, right, before they landed on this one. This is no one's like go to, like, oh my god, I can't tell you how many times someone has sung "Push" by Matchbox 20 to me, like.
To serenade
in modern times?
Yeah.
Like, but shout out to Matchbox 20 for being like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, we're on the joke, you know? Yeah.
It fits so well, even so, it does. Right? Like, yeah.
I figure it's because it ends up being I Want to Push You Around.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just
kind of on the nose, but it fits. Yeah.
You ladies don't like that?
I mean, only in certain circumstances.
With consent.
With consent.
With consent? Okay. Hey. All right.
There you go.
All right.
That's smart.
Oh my god!
I do like this. The fact that I wrote down "with consent" as a possible tag or title option. Yeah. Yes, of course. Obviously,
thank
that's
you.
A great, that was
yeah,
a great
that
pun.
Was good.
Yeah.
I also put "rain twerk." We'll see. we'll see what ends up. So,
yeah.
Okay, I do like that. Ken is so he's just a really good 80s, 90s boy look. With the floopy, swoopy hair. Is that a word? Nope.
Sure.
Yeah,
floopy, swoopy hair. Yep.
Yeah, that's a word. Yeah.
I was.
Yeah, Barbie.
I
get it.
Hell yeah.
Timmy Cham Cham.
I'm makeup words, Barbie. He looked like so many of the guys that you see in all of the 80s and 90s romance or rom-com movies. And now I watch them and I'm like, and he's kind of a villain. He's just not the best guy. But boy, that hair has personality. You know?
Ooh, okay.
Was that his like real hair, do you think?
The 80s blonde are hair. The villains? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the guy in 16 Candles.
That's who I was thinking of, too, yeah. Yeah. Was it James Jake. Spader?
Oh, Jake.
James Spader.
Oh, it's like Jake Ryan, right?
Oh.
Yeah, Jake Ryan. But yeah, James Spader was in Pretty in Pink, maybe?
Oh, that's what
and
I'm thinking
he
of.
He was always like a dick in all of those movies,
yeah.
But my god,
he's the weirdest guy of all time.
Yeah, but have you seen Secretary?
Yes, I have seen that. Yeah,
wow,
it really bothers them. Yeah,
still no, that's a no for you.
Oh, yeah, hard no, hard pass. Oh. Do not like that guy.
Damn, there was a whole period of time. Yeah, he could get it.
Wait,
oh, so gross.
What movie did you say, Secretary?
Secretary, yeah,
it's with Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
She's the cover is
don't
like
do
a
it.
A bar across her butt, and she's chained to it.
Of course, Allison would like that movie.
It's like
I have nothing to say.
It's like a BDSM movie, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me, what?
I'm not yucking your yum.
I do love that scene when they sing "Push" all on the beach, and then.
Yeah.
Especially also that the Barbies have this plan and they all get up and each Ken is just like, what the fuck? Where are
it's
you
clever.
Going? Yeah, the way that the ladies, you know, play the Kens against each other and again,
and how
like,
easy it is.
Yeah.
Right.
How easy it is.
And it's so funny because I love seeing all those guys who in real life are, you know, intelligent, you know, guys, whatever, but like Simu Liu and stuff. I love that dude. I'm glad he's getting more roles and stuff. And I thought he was great casting in this.
He can get it too.
Yeah, Simu Liu can get it too, baby.
Dude, I didn't notice until this last watch that the only person, the only guy that can fight is Alan. And I didn't like make that connection. He beats the shit out of the people who are like making the wall. And like, and then of course you have the beach fight on the beach off.
Right.
And they don't actually fight each other. It's just like nonsense. But Alan beats the shit out of some dudes.
Yeah. I thought Michael Cera was perfect for that role.
He was perfect. Yeah. Alan was definitely creepy even as a kid.
I don't remember Alan either.
I do.
But I do think that he was like the most advanced character in the movie. Like
when he's just like, get me out of here, I gotta go.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knew but he cared about everybody. Right. He wanted the Kens and the Barbies to be okay.
He was kind of like a non-binary. Yeah. He's like the person in the middle that's like, they can all be this. They could all just be, you know, okay.
But like when they re-sign the Constitution, he's like dancing and stuff.
It's so cute.
That is funny, though. I didn't really realize that until you just said it. And I replayed all those fight scenes in my head. And I'm like, he's doing it all the time.
He's the only one who fights.
Yeah.
Well, and he's the only one that questions anything, too. Like before Barbie has her death moment, because they were saying, yeah, he can wear all of Ken's clothes. And he said, yeah, I don't get that. And he broke the fourth wall, I think, you know, and he's just like, it was like he had an awareness that everybody else did not have.
Right.
Yeah. It was a very self-aware movie. I really like that because, I mean, oh my gosh, again, on this rewatch, I'm like picking up on all of the quips and like enumerating them and realizing like even, I mean, they even made a joke about like white savior Barbie, you know, it's so aware, not just of the feminism of it all and the troublesome roles for all of us. And I mean, I think that's probably my biggest pet peeve of anybody who misses the point of the movie. It is, we're all stuck in this mess that was made about what we should all be doing, what we should all look like, the roles we should fulfill. And I mean, at the end of the day, it's just nonsense.
I loved all of the hate that they gave to Midge. They'd be like, "Ugh, Midge." And then, like this, the CEO comes and he's like, "I thought we discontinued you."
Yeah, I didn't remember Midge either.
I do.
You do? Yeah. Woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was weird.
Creepy. Yeah.
What a name too, Midge. Mm.
That's some old school Barbie stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, she got knocked up at like 78, you know. She'd have a 15-year-old baby. Oh. About to pop a teenager out. The doctor's going to spank it, cut the umbilical cord, and then hand it a driver's license. Like, get out there, champ.
Oh, yeah. My God.
You got this.
Do you guys remember the Barbie that was pregnant Barbie, and you could swing her stomach open, and there was a baby?
They talk about it in the movie, but I don't remember the actual Barbie, yeah.
Yes.
Is that not Midge?
Oh, maybe it was. I don't know. I think it is, but I just remember being so disturbed because I'm like,
yeah, I think it might be
out, but she's still pregnant. Like,
oh yeah, oh, pregnant Midge and baby at least is one option. Wow,
what
a good look.
What was it, Steven?
Pregnant Midge. It's a happy family. Pregnant Midge and baby.
Oh, happy family. Huh.
The happy family.
Interesting.
Planned Parenthood Barbie.
Because you guys know that you can only be happy if you have a baby.
That's right.
This comes with a lot of accessories. Baby bottles, toys, a bassinet, or a changing table.
Surprisingly, no husband.
Well, oh no.
Wow. Immaculate conception.
Here. Wow.
They got some options, though. They sell them separately, of course. They have a Ken doll with like a plaid shirt from the 90s, like a blue plaid shirt from like the grunge era of the 90s. And then he's holding a little baby boy that's also in a plaid.
Oh, shit, it is.
Oh, my
what
God, Brent, is your shirt.
Fuck.
Is the shirt you're wearing right now.
God damn it.
Brent is a Barbie. He's come to life.
It legitimately is exactly the
I can't believe word got out. Fuck. Shit. God damn it.
I cannot believe it. The world is crazy. Everything's topsy-turvy. But, so there's pregnant options out there. Oh, my God. Amanda just showed me the picture of the baby upside down, too. Yeah, there you go. That's pretty sure.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, that is. That looks just like you, Brent.
It's with a little tiny you. Plaid shirt.
It can't be me. He appears to be happy.
Midge's baby with another man.
I said I wasn't gonna fall out of this chair. You need to stop.
Well,
you gotta stop.
You can either fall out or let it break. These are the rules.
These are the
crack
options.
Oh, well, all right, fine.
What is this you're showing us?
You have to.
This is the most visually intensive audio podcast we've ever had to put together.
I don't want to do any editing. We're like all the photos.
What is this? We're looking.
That's the baby. That's the chest burster scene of Barbie.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Is the sequel to Barbie going to be Barbies? Is that what you're telling me right now?
I mean, doesn't it seem like it probably will be?
I mean, it could be.
Barbies.
And the S is like shaped like a 2?
Yeah.
That angers
probably would
me.
Try that.
I can't.
Yeah.
Can't handle
but it's,
that.
It'd be like backwards.
No.
Right.
I don't like it. Go back
it'd
to
like
the
Barbie
board.
2 flipped and it would be like Barbies.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So it's animated.
Okay.
And so just Barbie, went down a rabbit hole and got very
For the guys yeah. in this podcast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, ma'am.
What did you take away from this? I mean, because I feel like for all of the women in this podcast, we are kind of had a similar reaction. We love it. Feels good. Mm-hmm. You know, made us feel really validated about our lives. What do you guys think? Like, were you annoyed at all about how Ken got treated, or like,
oh yeah, that's Brit and I, that's all we talk about with this movie. Yeah. We were just waiting to shove that in your faces.
I'm just curious about the guy's point of view on this.
Shove it in the face. Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Well, it's about time the guys get to talk on this Barbie-centric episode with all these hens a-clucking. Steven, what...
I regret asking this now. So sorry.
You did it to yourself.
Take it back. President Liz, shut it down.
Well...
No, go ahead, please. Yeah.
For me, I would say that I feel that I got kind of the same gist of it from like you guys did. It opened my eyes to some things. Like I said, I think that I didn't quite understand the idea of, like, you could want to be an astronaut, as I keep using, and then also want to wear pretty clothes. Like, that doesn't appeal to me, so I didn't understand. But then watching this, that was kind of like enlightening to me, and I was like, oh, I totally get it. And then Brent and I try to be progressive, and I feel like we champion women's rights and the women around us, and we try to do that in general. And I like this in particular because all the different types of Barbies that they had on there. That's why I like it so much to just call pretty much any woman in my life Barbie now. And like, there's a scene where she like meets that elderly lady at the bus stop, and she's like, "You're beautiful," and she's like, "I know," and I was like, "Fuck yeah, that's awesome!" You know, like any of those. So even for me, I never got the controversy of any of the Ken stuff or like the whatever any of the Barbie stuff, but I can see the female perspective of this and the Barbie part of it, and I love that. And then I could also get some fulfillment from the Ken part of it. And like that song to me, like I am Ken enough. Like I take that to heart, man. And I listen to that song and it fucking pumps me up. So I get it from both sides. So yeah, I'm curious for Brett though. He's usually not really deft at gleaning this type of info from that. He's a pretty hardcore Republican and MAGA hat. So Brent, what did you think of it?
Well, that is why the little cartoon character version of me has a red hat. I was getting a jump on that trend early on. There's not white writing on there because I can't read or write. So I am like genuinely curious about how other people live their lives. Just like to know all of us live a different existence, right? So... watching this movie and seeing women express like how they feel in contrast to living in Barbie land. Mm-hmm. Is it world land?
Yeah, land.
Barbie
West.
Land.
I don't hear a consensus. I'm just going to make up something. So Barbieville compared to the real world is interesting to see, you know, see all this contrast. Like when they first, both Barbie and Ken go to the real world and are like, and they're like spandex outfits on those like hot yellow, like highlighter yellow skates.
Oh,
just
yeah.
skating around. And
some great skates.
And Barbie says something. It's like, oh, I feel like uncomfortable all of a sudden or whatever. That like, that really resonated with me because I was like, oh man, that sucks that she feels that way because she doesn't realize that she dressed that way on purpose and wants attention, and she should expect things like that. And, you know, like, Stephen...
So you're saying she was dressed for... she asked for it, kind of.
Well, I wouldn't say that she asked for it. We didn't see that scene. Maybe that was in a deleted scene of some sort.
Right. I'm going to kill him. Murder is going to happen on this podcast right now.
I'm feeling a lot of
him with this Barbie.
Feeling a lot of pressure. Like I had a feeling that I was going to walk away with a shitload of bruises tonight, and I'm slowly bringing that upon myself. But I like the movie.
He asked for it. Let the record show. He asked for it.
I didn't ask for it. I just dressed this way to make myself feel comfortable. You should know this.
I just want
to
say that
it was the
movie.
Sexy plaid shirt. Wasn't
that's what you asked for.
It'll make you have a baby, spontaneous baby.
I'd hope to keep Midge a secret. This is really stepping on my game here. I genuinely liked the movie the first time I saw it. I got maybe like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes into it the first time. before I realized, oh, this is where we're going with this movie. Yeah. It's going to have like commentary. And I remember leading up to this movie coming out, there was a trailer of some sort that says, if you love Barbie, you'll love this movie. If you hate Barbie, you'll love this movie. And you can watch it with an eye toward that. And you'll see both perspectives. But like at the end of the day, this is a great fucking movie. I still haven't seen Oppenheimer. I kind of don't feel like I need to, because I was like, I went with the Barb part of Barbenheimer, and I was fully satisfied with that. So, you know, maybe I'll get around to Oppenheimer style here later on. I don't know. But for now, I'm Barbie all the way. Team Barbie.
Aww. He saved himself right
he
at the
did.
End.
He did.
Like, and let me tell you about these bitches in this movie,
it.
Okay?
Don't. Oh, God.
I like it because...
By bitches, I'm talking about the guys.
You said that line. I heard this too. If you love Barbie, you'll like this movie. If you hate Barbie, you'll like this movie. And I think that is absolutely true. I think the people that don't like this movie are the people that... It's not about Barbie. They just don't like women. If you don't like women, you're not going to like this movie. But if you don't like Barbie, you will, right? Like, that can still be fulfilled there, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Steven, you just passed the test. That was really good. Brent, you're almost there.
No, not even
Brent
close.
Sex.
I do feel like that they threw in a car commercial / car chase scene for the guys.
That was
the
one note
the
I did have for you, yeah. All of a sudden, and the car chase, like, America Ferrera and her daughter, like, going away, and, like, it is a straight up, like, Hyundai. Sponsored by Chevy. But it's a Barbie movie.
The least cool SUV that they have.
they had angles of every part of the car, and they were like, this is it in, like, fast motion. This is it going over a curb. This is it backing down an alleyway. I was like, okay.
She just parks up on a rock for no reason. You're like, that's weird. And she's like, hey, there's tons of trunk space.
I was like, so Chevy just, like... It was like, so Chevy just like underwrote this movie? Is that what happened
You gotta do
look,
that.
I mean, would this movie have been as successful as it was without that like sponsorship in place? Right. I'm not saying if Chevy wasn't in it. I'm just saying like whatever ducats they were given to put toward the making of the movie and it turning into what it was. Look, the juice was worth that squeeze, you know? Mm-hmm. You just like put your thumb over the Chevy logo while you're watching the movie if it bothers you that much. I don't care about it.
Why are you calling it a Chevy logo?
Yeah.
I thought you guys said it was I was half listening. I don't know.
How do you pronounce that?
Is it Chevy?
Oh, my God.
This is like a
Chevy?
It's like some Chevy in the eggs.
No, did I say
how
it wrong?
Do you say it?
I don't want to say it anymore.
Do it again.
I don't want to do it.
I swear this is a bit.
Leave poor Brent alone. He's...
Don't defend
is it
him.
Is it a Chevrolet?
I know. What am I doing?
Okay.
I take it back.
I need to rehash a story that I've told on this podcast before, but I'll try to make it quick for me. So there was one time where I went to a florist, and I was buying some flowers. And this lady, she had a thick-ass, like, East Coast accent. And she said, okay, honey, what name you want me to put on this? And I said, Brent. And she said, what? I said, Brent. How do you spell? Is that B-R-I-N-T? I said, no, it's B-R-E-N-T. She was like, oh, like Brent. I was like, sure. And I think I'm now realizing this fucking bitch was right.
Lady.
Like, it was like, I think I pronounce... Brent the same way I pronounce Chevy. I think I do pronounce it with
never
an
heard
I.
Anybody say
I have never heard that in my entire life.
Chevy?
That's like the combination between a Chevrolet and a Skivvy.
It's
is it like underwear? Is it a car underwear? Your Chevys?
I was thinking more of like a shank-esque shiv that you would you know, inflict upon somebody in prison.
So you don't call it Chevy?
I honestly don't know what most cars are. To be frank with you, so I don't know. It's like the one with wheels. Does that help you, officer?
Do you call it a Chevrolet?
I don't say the whole word. If anything, I would probably call it a Chevy.
I need you to tell me who this is.
That's Chevy Chance, Steven.
He's related to Timmy Cham Chams.
Chevy Chase? Right?
Chevy Chase.
Yeah. So I do say Chevy, but I say... Chevy.
Yeah. I did find his name really confusing as a child.
It is
I have
confusing,
to admit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought you were doing a bit as well.
I literally thought it was a bit. I was like, this is
Listen,
a bit.
I did too. Mm. Listen, Amanda has said eggs weirdly her whole life, and it delights me to this day.
Are you an egg person?
Mm-hmm. She is an egg. She's an egger.
I'm a leg person.
And leg. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now we're just going to have every opportunity for Amanda to say something about eggs and Brent to talk about Chevy
so,
cars.
Chevy. Amanda, Chevy.
Do you want to go buy some eggs in the Chevy?
Oh, she's ready. You didn't even need to set her up.
Yes. Amanda, I was going to say, can you every 26 days go into like wherever Steven is in the house? He'd be like, got another egg drop. Wow.
Sometimes you can feel it. Did you know that?
What?
Sometimes you can
Is that what this is?
Sometimes you can feel it when you ovulate. When you ovulate, you can feel it kind of pop.
I don't ever feel it.
You don't?
It's because your shivvies are too tight.
Oh.
You need to be more in tune with your ovaries, Brad.
Oh, man. I feel like I'm in tune with them right now. I had way too much Coke Zero before
Maybe you
recording.
Need to watch Barbie again, and then you'll be like more in touch with your feminine side. Mm-mm. It's important.
No.
Maybe.
I am thinking about getting a horse, though.
I got to
go.
Rein this back in. So let's do some last
Much like a horse.
Jesus Christ. Okay. All right. So let's go... Uh-oh, Amanda's moving. All right, I'm going to start us off. Just make it easy. So my final
Amanda
thoughts are, I thought this movie was a lot of fun. I think the more I watch it, the more I like it. I think the music is fantastic. I think it'll stand the test of time. I think it'll be a sleepover movie forever. And I'm talking about me and Brent. And I look forward to watching this many times in the future. And I think everybody should watch it because I think it has a great message. So what about you, Amanda?
I agree with all of those things. I don't know that I could have said it better.
See, the patriarchy is right. That's
we did it.
This movie.
We did it.
I'm going to stab him in his sleep. So.
Oh, and we're back. Okay, yeah. Got it. Got
okay,
it.
Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, so how about you? Let's go Allison first.
I just, final thought. I, every day of my life, just want to be more and more like Weird Barbie and just embrace it. Get weirder and weirder. And one day I'll be a real girl. Go to the open G my head.
I think I missed
a real
that
live
part of the movie.
Girl.
she
was amazing in that movie. Yeah. And also,
I mean
this in the best compliment ever, that I do think you are a bit Kate McKinnon-esque. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. I'll accept that.
That's a really good compliment.
Well, I feel so seen.
She's amazing.
All right, what about you, Liz? Final thoughts.
I just think that this movie was super brilliant. I think Mattel was incredibly brilliant for getting on board with this and making it. I mean, it's like a complete rebranding for Barbie, so they're making money hand over fist. And on top of it, there's this huge feminist message for the younger generation. You know, it marries this old feminism with new feminism, and it's like, it's. I just think it's one of the best movies. Maybe ever, or at least for last year.
Yeah. Hopefully
ever.
Maybe there'll be a better one this year.
You qualified.
I don't know.
But,
it's gonna be really it's gonna be really hard. That's what she said.
The Oscars did not agree.
Yeah. I know, which is absolutely ridiculous.
So mad.
It was really just a masterpiece in my opinion.
I think it would have been quite amazing if it did like just rule the Oscars. Once it didn't, it was like, yeah, that was always gonna happen, I guess. But I'm like, dude, if this had won Best Picture, I would have fucking flipped a table over, man.
That Wait, I still say, and we need to publish this officially on the podcast.
It
we
won
still,
Best Picture in my heart.
It did. It did. We still need to have something that is not the Oscars. We just need to do a full takeover, which we can do. Whatever. We all looked up the history a while back. Some group of people in the movie industry were just like, hey, we're going to make an awards show and we're going to decide movies are great. You know what? Let's do that. And we'll call it something else. And we'll have our own little statues. And we'll be like, fuck you. We make better choices.
Didn't you name it?
I can't remember.
It was a woman's name.
Oh, it was like Carmen's.
It was the Carmens. Yeah.
Hey, let's bring the Carmens in. All right.
Hell yeah.
So this won all the Carmens.
This won all the Carmens.
Excellent. Yes.
What was it up against?
The problem is for me is I don't remember any movies from last year except for Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Dude, for real, it was a shit movie year, but... Yeah.
I can't think of a single one. I didn't even watch the Oscars
this year.
That
Bradley Cooper movie?
Maestro.
That one?
Right.
I was going to say, I actually just looked it up. And, not to actually, everyone, oh, fuck. Anyway, I've looked up the other contender. It was that Paw Patrol movie. So, yeah, congrats to Barbie for sweeping the Carmens.
Yep.
But also, like, not, like, sweeping it in, like, oh, she's a woman, she has to tidy up.
Wow, quit handing brooms to women, Brent.
I didn't hand her anything. I don't, much like our former vice president, I won't be alone in a room with a woman. I'm just trying to make sure everything's on the up and up.
Wow. Do you also call your wife mother?
Mother is with me at all times. God. And...
All right, Brent, what about you? Final thoughts.
Well, I wanted to hear Amanda's thoughts as we were listening to all of the women's
roles. I agreed with him, and then he made a patriarchy joke, and now I have to murder him. So
that was her thoughts. Yeah.
But that was it?
That's what I feel like the Barbie movie gave me is free license to kill. So,
ooh, nice.
She certainly got a message out of this movie.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Look, this movie's fantastic. No notes, really, except for like one thing I'd heard recently. And Steven, did you ever watch that video I was telling you about?
Oh, yeah. This is a good point.
The Corridor of Peru. So this is not about the Barbie movie itself, but like the behind the scenes. And it's just like a weird little like tidbit. So Steven and I watched this special effects YouTube channel called Corridor Crew, and they discuss visual effects and different techniques and all this stuff. Recently on an episode where they discuss Starship Troopers of all things.
It's because we brought it up,
came out like after we did our episode on it, so you're welcome. But on that same episode, at the end of it, they have something about the visual effects about Barbie, but not really the movie Barbie, the behind the scenes footage of Barbie, where in the movie itself, it was made using like green screen or blue screen. But in the behind the scenes special feature, they actually like take out the blue or green screen and they superimpose a CGI background in it, so they could put forth the idea that this movie was made with no CGI, which was just abjectly, what is the word I'm trying? Shivvy. It's just not true at all. You know,
essentially, they made a lot of sets practically. Like Barbie Land is mostly practical, her house and stuff like that, and the car.
Did they really?
And then and it's like they'd use like old movie techniques where it's like she's driving. It's like a camera shot sideways, and like the background is like literally just like a movie. Like they're moving a background, and it looks like it's just like moving on a wheel or whatever. And they did those things. But they have quotes out there that said there was no CGI in Barbie Land, and it's just not true. There's blue screen in it, and they make it like more Barbie houses, or like the entire weird house and that hilltop, that's all fake. It's all CGI. Mm-hmm. The interior they shot real though. So like they in the behind the scenes, what they were pointing out is there's this idea that if it's practical and people don't like obvious CGI, they keyed out the blue screen to kind of fool people to make it look like they really did it all live when they didn't. It's just like a weird thing going on in the industry right now and in film. So
yeah, it's weird. I don't understand it
though. If
exactly,
it's like just false.
It's like in Top Gun Maverick, they talked about they spent so much time filming in actual jets. They made special cameras that they could fit all around Tom Cruise and the other actors. And they're like, yeah, there's no like Tom Cruise is on the red carpet many times being like, there's no CGI in the jets. And then you can just watch behind the scenes footage of them like building up the jet around
all the
him.
CG
like,
jets. Yeah,
they did do that, but they also accentuated it with, you know, with special effects. And
I
so
feel like,
why the lie about it? It's weird.
Well, in like 2024, I just expect all movies to have a component of CGI in it, you know?
For sure.
The idea is, that they're all kind of like a lot of movies now look CG and fake. But there's a lot of hidden CG that looks really good and you would never know it. Erasing wires, you know, accentuating backgrounds, extending houses or whatever. And so it's like this whole argument about like fake looking CGI. And it's like really there's 98% really fucking good CGI. We just don't even know it. The 2% right. that's so bad, though, we all talk about kind of thing.
Yeah, fuck the 1% for sure. Dude, okay, but I didn't know that. They really built a lot of, like, the little Barbie neighborhood. Dude, I want to visit that so bad. That was, like, one of the most satisfying things.
Like, you can really go to it.
Like, or they have, like, Harry Potter Land. They need to, Mattel needs to go for it. I would visit the shit out of some Barbie Land. Yeah.
And one of the rides is just you in the car.
Yeah.
Or it could be like you on like a little bungee thing and you could just like float down off the house because, you know, you don't walk in Barbie Land.
Or only if I get to wear like a poofy dress.
Fuck yes, a poofy dress.
The other option is to go down the slide.
Oh, I want to go down the slide so bad. Yeah.
So imagine this is just like a bar you can go to. That'd be amazing too, right? You just and go then you could like hang out. Yeah,
I suppose so. You could go over to the corner and there are a bunch of ladies dressed up in construction and they'll just like tell you really nice shit about yourself and your day. And,
ooh, a construction site. I could really use that feminine imagery.
Yeah. I laugh every time. So good.
When they skate over right after that, it's so fucking funny. Okay, well, this has finally been a long, good episode like we have missed for a long, long time. Any final thoughts from anybody? Brent?
Yeah, sorry. I just had one other one I wanted to shout out. Like, legitimately, I thought it was impressive that they had a trans woman as one of the Barbies. I think her name is Hari or Harry. I don't know how to pronounce fucking shit. So
I believe her name is Hari Neff, and she's amazing.
Hari Neff, Dr. Barbie.
Played Dr. Barbie. I thought she was great. I love that she was in the movie. And nobody says anything about it.
They don't and that's how it should be. It's just presence and representation. It was so fucking satisfying.
And
I was super excited to see her.
One of the funniest people.
She was dead funny.
Like her delivery.
She's the first one that's like
yes.
About the flat feet.
Yeah. It's so good.
She's like, it's fine, honey. Let me see him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've mentioned her before. I think she's in this movie called Assassination Nation, which is actually. I think would be a crazy but awesome double feature with this because Assassination Nation is about four teenage girls and one of them has pictures of her like that she took to send a guy. They get leaked and the entire town of men go crazy and a lot of girls get their pictures leaked and the men go after them as sluts. And then Hari Neff is a trans friend of theirs, like she's part of the four girls. And it's this freaking like weird violent movie where people like really are like trying to murder each other. And Hari Neff is amazing in it, but they all are. It'd be like a weird juxtaposition of this like happy go lucky, but still like the patriarchy is fucking horrible.
Ooh, I need to watch that. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds kind of rad. And she'd be the connecting tissue for that. So,
but Barbie would come after because you need a palate cleanser.
Probably. Right? Probably, okay. But I highly recommend it. It's 2018. It's by written directed by Sam Levinson, Assassination Nation. You can find that out there too. But yeah,
if people want more Barbie on the big screen, well, it's not anymore. But you can watch Toy Story 3, features a wonderful side story with Barbie and Ken, and Ken kind of a dastardly bastard in that movie. But look, he comes around, you know, with his little flat panel nubbin.
Flatbed
he has a lot of good ascots in that, doesn't he? He's into the ascot.
Oh yeah,
if I remember correctly.
Right.
Yeah,
I've only seen that
voiced
one
by
once.
Michael Keaton.
Oh, treasure.
I love him.
Beetlejuice. Yeah. Beetlejuice.
Yes.
Coming out soon. Looking forward
I'm excited.
To it. All right. Any anybody else? Final thoughts though?
Nope.
Super. Well, thank you, ladies, for coming on for another.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me back, Steve, and I appreciate it.
Hey, caller, please. We're not taking calls right now.
I'm Patty from across the pond. Sorry to call again. Oh no, it's late.
Very nice. Borat Barbie.
Oh, that's what it is. Called it. Very good.
Amazing. All right. Well, if you want to contact us, all the info is in the show notes as usual. You can rate and review us on your favorite podcast apps. 5 stars is always appreciated. Thank you again, ladies, for joining us for this wonderful Barbie movie. And please, if you haven't seen it, go out and see it. I don't know why you would listen to this otherwise, but it's an amazing, uplifting movie. And I hope this was an amazing, uplifting podcast today.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Not for me, but I point taken.
You don't matter. It's fine. Shut up.
All right.
The reviews are in.
So, until next time, I'm Steven.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Allison.
I'm Barbie.
I'm Brant.
And I'm Chevy Chase. All right, let's talk later.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my God, Liz, you killed it.
One, two, three, record.
All right.
Hey.
There it is.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we're just here. Just you and me, Stephen.
Yep, just you
back
and me.
Back at it again.
Just normal
here
days.
We are. Oh, just my normal. God.
Wait, I thought I heard something in the background. Do you have like a puppy?
It's just
you?
My ringworm. He's God. Back. Yeah. It's an issue. I've been meaning to have it looked at, but I was like, I'm trying to... I have a ringworm. If I feed it properly, I'll have like a ring or a necklace worm or something like that.
Oh,
you know?
Wow. Yeah. Like a chain.
Yeah.
Chain link thing.
Mm hmm. Yeah. Yes. Might.
Do you have a name for him?
I sure do.
I don't think ringworm is not even a worm, right? Isn't that one that's like not.
It's not.
Yeah.
It's a fungus.
Oh, man. So you got a fungus.
It's not an actual
there.
Worm.
Okay.
No.
Oh,
and
my God.
That voice that you hear in your head going, help me. It's just something else completely different.
Why do they call it a worm, Allison?
Fuck, I haven't looked up the etymology of that.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I will get on that for homework later. President Wilson.
I would appreciate that.
Thank you.
We'll get our best people on it.
Yeah, that's one of those things that's weird, but either way, it just sounds gross. It's one of those gross things. So as Brent likes to say, enjoy your breakfast.
Hey, yeah, that's right.
Mm.
Oh my God, can you imagine a ringworm cereal though? Because it's already O-shaped.
Why?
Oh, no. Amanda, why'd you have such a visceral reaction to that? It's just
that's
ringworms
disgusting.
That you eat. It's not worms it's, now. It now it's fungus. That's right.
Mushroom cereal.
But I don't
exactly.
Like mushrooms.
So
morning.
Equally what? As disgusting.
Wow.
I'm really sad.
I agree. I do not like mushrooms
this
either.
This makes me think...
Jesus Christ.
I saw a Reddit
Where
post
did we go
the
wrong?
Other day about vegetables in foods and like sneaking them for kids and like other foods like dicing them up real fine or like pureeing them or whatever. But it started with a Reddit thread that was a wife asking if she was the asshole or if her husband was because she was like, I make spaghetti, but I like to add some veggies in there so my kids will eat some veggies. And she lists out the veggies. They are... mushrooms, corn, lima beans. Okay. They're like, this is only three of them. There's like eight. I don't remember all of them.
At first, I thought you were going to be talking about my mom's.
Oh, yeah. Carrots. Her mom puts carrots in hers, which I've heard is like a sweetener thing, but her mom has like, I don't know. There's like diced carrots and spaghetti. And I'm like, what is this? I don't understand. Yeah,
sometimes there's celery. You gotta,
yeah.
You got to speak right into that.
What's that?
Wait, why are you. What?
I think that Allison, my point of this is that I think that Allison probably makes spaghetti this way, but I wonder.
Okay. It depends on if I want to do
a traditional Corn is a standard Italian. Ingredient in her.
Corn is not. No, fuck that. That's so fucked
up. Oh, potatoes. She puts potatoes in hers.
No.
Yeah, there was
that
so.
That sounds good, actually.
No. No. You're just having carbs on carbs. No,
exactly.
You listen,
exactly.
In a traditional Italian sauce, yes, you slow cook your carrots and it becomes really, it's a little bit sweet and umami and it's like, it's special. It's
I have
thing,
heard that
for sure.
As a thing for some sauces. Amanda's mom just throws in carrots kind of at the end. They're just chunked up carrots. They are not soft. That's... They are not part of the sauce. They are just, there's just meat and carrots.
And celery.
Do you feel betrayed when she does that? Sometimes.
Well, here's the thing. Someone's response was, the whole Reddit thread was pretty funny because it was basically like this woman making it. Her mom was over. Her mom was making fun of her for putting all these veggies in it. So she kicked her mom out of the house and she didn't let her. She was like, for her husband, she's like, make your own fucking food. But people Valid. Online were like, okay, yeah, they were being assholes for making fun of it. But you're also kind of the asshole for putting in so many fucking vegetables, like lima beans specifically. Her husband was like, I don't like the texture of those. And she just said, you can't taste them. There's no texture difference. And he was like, there is.
No.
And so
there
people
is.
Were like,
That's
you're
not
the
a
asshole.
Hide it kind of vegetable.
But don't.
No.
Doesn't spaghetti sometimes have beans in it?
Not spaghetti? Chili?
What?
Chili.
Three-way chili, I think.
The whole point.
Hell yeah,
so...
dude. Hell yeah. You use a three-way chili. Hell yeah, dude.
Stop it.
But one person online, my favorite response was like, you're not the asshole, but you made a stew. You didn't make spaghetti. So, yeah. Like, don't call it spaghetti, you know? And I was like, that's fair.
Science.
Yeah. So that was a little much for me. I'm all about sneaking in the veggies for the kids, I suppose. But I'm also kind of like a simple spaghetti guy. So I don't need all that, especially lima beans. I never eat lima beans.
How many vegetables do you put in your food for your children, Stephen?
I put imaginary vegetables in my sauce for my imaginary children. And it's like kind of like Hook. It's just colorful and delicious.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the thought that counts.
I love that movie.
Literally.
It's so good.
Rufio. Oh.
I went with Bangarang.
Oh. Yeah. Nice.
But anyway.
I just feel like that's a lot of work, putting extra veggies in there, hiding veggies.
Oh, do you ever do that for your kids?
Who's got time for that? No, never. I do not do that.
How'd they turn out?
I mean, the older two are good. Jim's so far so good, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, we love him.
He's alive. We saw him when we came over. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's on that VR screaming.
I was
going to
say, was he just walking through the house with the VR headset on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he addicted now?
Yes, he is. We thank you every day.
Listen, they feed him imaginary vegetables, and it actually becomes a real vegetable when you put the VR headset
on. Oh, that makes sense.
He's very...
He gets VR vegetables.
Yeah.
Oh, man, the VR vegetables. I watched them growing up. They were really good. It was right after Power Rangers
Power
and
Rangers.
VeggieTales.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the VR vegetables.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was like mixed. Yeah. It was a crossover.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really cool
show. What do they eat on VeggieTales?
People.
Oh my God.
Absolutely. That's why Jesus was like, my body.
And his blood.
And his blood, yeah. Happy Easter, everybody.
Yeah, it is weird that, like, Jesus is trying to turn us all into cannibals, right? Mm-hmm. Like, real early on, it's just like, hey, dude, just eat my shit, dude.
Yeah. At my house, we really do celebrate Zombie Jesus Day.
Oh, there you go. There's so many parts of the story that fulfilled the Zombie Jesus mythos, so...
Yeah,
rose from the dead. Eats bodies.
Rose
other things.
From dead?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There was some guy named Judas. Who knows?
I heard about it
he
once.
Betrayed him.
Sounds tasty.
In VeggieTales, I never actually watched them. Did anybody here actually watch those? I feel like that might have been an Allison Church thing, no?
I mean, I saw it and knew about it,
right.
But I don't think I could ever stand more than 2 minutes of it, even in my... wrongfully religious faith.
Because someone at work, I don't remember, because I didn't really watch him, but someone was like, the two main characters are actually fruit, and so they're like, I don't even understand it, and they grew up watching them.
What?
And I was like, man, I feel like that whole show was a lie.
What were they?
Well, one,
yeah, they're like a tomato and a cucumber or something.
There you go. So it's maybe like,
dang. Look at that.
Wow,
never seen it.
You know your vegetarian.
I didn't even know it was a religious show until I was an adult. Or had like religious undertones or whatever.
Oh.
I thought that was pretty obvious, is it not?
I didn't watch it. I just know the main characters and everything about them.
What's that on your shirt there on that arm? You got a tattoo of these VeggieTales.
Oh, yeah, that's
wow.
My VeggieTales tattoo, yeah.
That's mm-hmm. amazing. That's yeah. amazing.
Thank you for noticing.
It is funny to me that they wanted children to get into the story of Jesus and that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, how can we get kids interested in this? I know, vegetables, the perfect gateway drug to introduce the Lord.
Yeah, another thing that children love a lot.
Yeah.
That's true. I was trying to look up too what if there was a VeggieTales story with Judas in it, and if so, what vegetable was Judas, you know?
Oh,
what would
my
he
God,
play
yeah.
by? But I can't I can't find a direct part of that. But if there were,
okay, what would
a
you
Judas,
cast?
Yeah, yeah, who would you cast?
Mm. Anal beads.
Wait, no. Okay, it's veggies though. They're all veggies.
Stop trying to eat anal beads.
Grapes used as anal beads. Final answer.
Really good. Those are fruit.
Wait, you're gonna end up in an ER, man.
Cherry tomatoes minus tomatoes
sir,
as anal beads.
Sir, how many grapes are in your anus?
Right.
Are we gonna get this? Is like a guessing game, right?
I figured, why go one at a time? I had the whole thing together. I just went, you know.
And then I tried to take them out, and it just came out with the stem. Mm-hmm.
I've been doing a lot of.
I'm just gonna say, strangely, your ass made wine.
It's been in there for a while.
I love it.
Uh-huh. Poop wine.
That's good.
What a great sync word for a Barbie episode. Yes?
Yes. What was it?
I think...
ass wine?
Wait, what was that?
Poop wine or ass wine?
I like ass wine, though.
Oh, okay.
Because poop ass wine just
makes
me...
It's a little classier.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Poop wine would be a boxed wine, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And if you did this trick in the front instead of the back, then it could be a real box wine.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Whoa.
God, it just blew my mind, man.
Is that what happens every 26 days?
Speaking of zombies. Holy shit.
It's like a real nice red wine that we've got.
Gone.
Fantastic. So, ass wine?
Gross.
Ass wine to sink.
That's excellent.
We'll all scream the word ass wine on three. One, two, three, Asswine. Hey, there we go. You know that song Pony by Asswine? Well, it's a jam from back in the day. 90s mega mix.
That would have been as big of a hit.
I was listening to a Pony remix today.
Hey.
It was so good. It was
that
a slow jam.
That song never gets old.
Doesn't.
Good. All right. We good?
Yeah.
You might bring the mic up a little bit.
But I'm so loud. I'm afraid of it.
How did you get quieter as you brought the mic up?
She's regulating herself.
I am.
Got the mic down here talking like this. And then as it gets closer.
I'm the loudest person, and I'm aware of it. And so this scares me. This in my face.
Stop doing that motion.
The mic is a mind of its own.
That's better. Okay.
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay,
fine.
Thank you. All right. This is going well. We're all happy about this. All right. Okay. So let's start the show.
It's an amazing, uplifting movie, and I hope this was an amazing, uplifting podcast today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well,
not for me, but I point taken.
You don't matter. It's fine. Shut up.
All right.
The reviews
are
in.
We're going to try our best to go in order. I'm going to point to people. So until next time, I'm Steven.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to bring up the rear
Steven,
on this one,
we
Steven.
We could not tell.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know
Steven
what?
Is trying his pointing damnedest at right now.
Yeah.
That was incredible. And my face hurts.
I'm really sorry I failed
Wait,
you.
Should we
was
get,
it
let's
me?
Go. I
let's,
don't know.
I think it was supposed to be Brent.
It's supposed to be Brent.
It's usually me, but I will I'll bring up the rear. Steven, let's bookend this one. Okay. What do you say? So we'll do you,
okay.
And then your wife, and then...
We're going to do...
Amanda,
yeah.
Me, Liz, Brent.
Yeah. Okay. So, okay. Until next time, I'm Steven.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Allison.
I'm Barbie.
I'm Brent.
And I'm Chevy Chase. All right. Let's talk later.